Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 32 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts.
Tony.
And I am Lou, and welcome back, Tony.
Thank you.
Missed you last week.
Thank you. You know what? I listened to last week's show, and it was actually very good.
Yeah, Jerry said,
I mean, not that I didn't think it would be, but
right.
But he knows a lot.
He does. He knows a lot, and he's done a lot of fun stuff. And
so anyone expecting that kind of smart banter this week, I'm just bringing my old bag of tomfoolery.
That's fine. I think people enjoy the tomfoolery, personally.
I hope so, because that's really all that's I have all to offer.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'm noticing this outline's a little thin again. No, I'm just kidding.
You have a lot.
No, I know. I'm totally kidding. And I just want to remind people that they can send email to us at podcast@pause.com. Of course, you can visit us on Facebook and become a fan of our Facebook page. And as always, please go to iTunes, look up pause.com. And if you have not done so already, please subscribe to our podcast and give us a rating and a review. We really appreciate it. So do you want to talk about where you were at all, or you want to just like get right into
Well,
stuff?
As I mentioned before, I was in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And I saw a movie in Puerto Rico, and I'll go into that later.
Oh, cool.
I have never seen a movie
in
somewhere
a foreign land?
Outside. Well, I mean, that's not that foreign, because it's, well, I guess it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Spanish-speaking country, so I guess for that it's foreign. But it was a different experience.
By those accounts, you could count like Louisiana as foreign.
Or L.A.
They don't speak the English down there.
That's true. But I was in Puerto Rico. Weather was beautiful. I had a great time. And yeah, that's all I got. Vacation. So,
yeah.
I mean, I saw a few movies.
Okay.
And so
a few movies while you were there?
Yeah. Well, I saw one on the plane.
Oh, right.
Actually, on the plane on the way back, because I'm not going to talk about this, so I can bring this up now. They had that Monsters versus Aliens movie.
Yeah.
Terrible.
You watched the whole thing?
No, I watched like 10 minutes of it.
Well, how can you judge a whole movie by 10 minutes?
If you didn't get me the first 10 minutes, I'm out.
Okay. So you didn't like the first 10 minutes of Monsters versus Aliens?
Yes.
Was it in 3D on the plane?
No. Actually, it was on a small little like 9-inch screen in the aisle, like three rows up.
Oh, I hate those.
It's
the
annoying.
One that's in like the beige plastic casing that's all dirty.
Yeah.
Ugh. Those are nasty. All right. Well, we'll get more into movies later. For now, let's talk about games. What have you been playing?
Well, you know, since I haven't been home, I haven't played any console. You know, I haven't come here with a console game in a long time. But that will change next week.
Why?
When the Batman game comes out.
The Batman.
The Arkham Asylum Batman coolness
game. Now, is it a shooter? What is it?
No, it's adventure, action adventure.
Is there something you can compare it to for someone like me who has no idea what you're talking about?
I would compare it. Well, it's third person. From the looks of it, I would compare it to
Tomb Raider with flying.
Sure.
Yeah, that kind of game.
Yeah, like third person. Like, well, there is some fighting in it, but not say like a fighting game.
It's not the central.
There's combat.
Okay.
I would probably compare it to Prince of Persia.
Okay.
But in the Batman world.
Sure.
You know, I have to say, the thing
not
I'm
in the
most
world of
excited...
Persia.
No, no. Although, you know, if you're going to blend worlds, why not those two?
Yeah.
I have to say, the reason I'm excited, because other than, like, Star Wars or Indiana Jones, this is another world that I love.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not to the level of Jerry, where I have, like, costumes
where you
have
the
all.
Costumes, yeah.
But, you know, ever since I was a kid, I loved Batman. So, to see that Batman... Because... Any other Batman game that's come out for the consoles has sucked.
They're all bad?
All of them. Look, actually, go and look at reviews. I mean, all the way back to the days of, like, Atari. Any Batman game was terrible. And so I've been reading reviews, you know, for this game coming out.
Yeah.
And they say not only is it the best Batman game ever, but, like...
It's just a great game in general.
Great game in general.
Yeah. Well, that sounds pretty cool.
I cannot wait.
So, is it just 360, or what else is it coming out for?
No, PS3. Actually, PS3 has... You can play as Joker on PS3. So, I'm going to get
only
it on
PS3. Only on the PS3?
Yeah. You know, let me see...
What's up with that?
Well, now that... with the news that you have later, you
yeah,
can...
Yeah, well, wait a second. Were the... The Batman movies are Warner Brothers, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like it's because
But I don't
it's a
know
Sony.
That they own...
I wonder why...
I mean, because this isn't based on... Well, let me just say, this isn't based on any movies.
Oh, it's just a general, generic... Okay.
Actually, it goes back to... Like, the voices are done by, like, Mark Hamill and those who did the voices. Kevin Conroy, who did the voices for the animated series.
Okay.
So it's done more in a dark comic book style.
Right.
I mean, it's not cel-shaded, but it's... It has nothing to do with the movies.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that.
In fact, I think it purposely removes itself from the movies to give it its own
voice
look and feel.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, let me see if it's available on PC, because that I don't know. I got completely off track. What were we talking about? Oh, video so games. I don't have any console games this week.
That's fine.
And also because I haven't been at home. So I have, you know, being on a plane for as long as I was, I played a few, you know, a few of my old iPhone favorite games.
Yeah, I hope you had your phone in airplane mode.
Yes.
Because you don't want to be using the accelerometer to control Ms. Pac-Man and then the plane goes down. That's bad news right there.
But let me just say, you know, I talked about Doodle Jump months ago, and it's such a simple little game. But you know what's so cool? Every 3 weeks, they update it, and they add features to the game. Like, just something
like
new.
Like new sneakers?
Like, well, almost. One, there was a propeller beanie they added, and
awesome.
Then they added a jetpack.
That's awesome.
And then they added, like, new monsters. And
yeah.
Then just recently, they added, like, exploding, like...
Platforms
and...
Those are bad, right?
And vertical moving platforms.
You don't want to collect exploding platforms.
Well, you just... Let's just say you want to get off. Once you get on, you want to get off.
You want to get off right away.
But so let me just say, for 99 cents, however much that game was, what a deal that, like, they keep adding to the gameplay. And
that
I
is
just say,
pretty cool.
It's one of the highest rated games on iTunes.
Really?
Yeah.
I still have never played that. I never even tried it. I don't really have time to play games on the iPhone because I'm rarely someplace where I need to waste time. You know what I mean? And, you know, since
what
I have
about
the computer
work?
And the. That's a good one. For any of you listening who might be my boss,
you're your boss.
Well, yes and no.
Let me just say that Batman Arkham Asylum does come out on PC as well. So there you go.
But you can only play the Joker on the PS3 one.
As far as I know, and I'm almost positive. Yes.
That's kind of interesting. I think that's almost better than, if you think about it, that doing that is almost better than having the game be an exclusive. Because a lot of people are not going to buy a game or a console just to play one game.
Right.
But if you play the game like on the 360 or on the PC and you love it, and then...
But would you go buy the game again just to have a different
well, I don't know.
Character?
It might entice people or, you know what I mean? Give them
right.
some kind of incentive. I mean, if it's like somebody's favorite game of all time, and then they're like, oh, God, I want to play the Joker. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Favorite game of all time. But let me just say, in this case, because as much as I love my PS3, I prefer my gaming on 360.
Yeah.
Had they been the same, and it all comes down to controls. I like the controller
right,
360
right.
better.
Yeah.
Had they been the same, I would have bought it on 360. But because of this, I'm buying it on PS3. So,
right.
Job well done.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I'm surprised that nobody has come out with a 360 controller that works with the Xbox. You know what I mean? Like the 360 shape and feel.
You mean with the PS3?
I'm sorry. Yeah, with the PS3. Because I know so many people who say they don't like the PS3 controllers.
Yeah.
I don't like them
either.
When I had them for, you know, when I had the PS3 initially for a couple of weeks
right.
before I returned it, that was the one thing that I hated was the controllers.
Yeah, I mean, you get used to it, but just let me just say, the triggers are a big deal for me. I much prefer the triggers over the buttons.
Yeah.
Because there's two buttons on the shoulders on the PS3.
Right.
You know, two on the left, two on the right. And I confuse them.
Yeah.
But having one, a little slim button, and one, a trigger,
right.
you'll never confuse
no,
them.
No, never, ever.
So.
That's why guns have triggers.
Right.
Because you don't want to confuse the buttons.
Right.
I don't think there's any other buttons on a gun, but if there were, you probably wouldn't want to get them confused. I'm just
especially
saying.
If the button meant it shoots backwards.
We're thinking about taking that feature off, but for right now it stays.
So
that's kind of funny.
We took a long time getting here. The iPhone game that I'm going to talk about right now is Spider, The Secret of Bryce Manor.
Oh, there's more. I thought it was just Spider.
Yeah. No.
No.
It's The Secret of Bryce
Manor. So are you a spider in a haunted house?
You are, exactly.
That's so cool.
But what's really cool about it, first of all, the movement.
Is it an adventure game?
It's a platformer,
okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
But it's a couple different kinds of...
Does it remind you of the game Bubbles from the arcade?
No.
I only bring that up because it had spiders
in it.
Yeah,
no. You are a spider and you are moving along, you know, Bryce Manor.
Sure.
And the controls are pretty cool. You just move it in one direction to move that way, move in the other direction, move that way. And if there's any obstacle, the spider, you know, because it's a spider, just
sure,
will
just
crawl
over,
right
over it.
So you just have to go in the direction. Now you flick it to jump, but then after like the second or third level, you can spin webs. And so you can go to places, you know.
Higher up.
Right.
Or elsewhere.
But what you do, if you form like a geometric shape
yeah.
with the webs,
yeah.
it makes a web.
Oh, that's cool.
So then you can just crawl.
Like kicks.
Yes, actually, that's what I was going to compare it to.
Yeah.
Like kicks. And what's really cool about that is when you make the web, Then you can walk however you want on the web.
Oh, I like that.
But so what you want to do also is capture some of the flies and moths in that.
Well, you got
to
eat.
And so you've... Exactly. Yeah. So you make the web to catch those, and then you move on the web to get it. It's really cool. the way they have it and the way it moves. And it's actually very, it's artistically,
yeah,
it's
a pretty beautiful nice game. As now, well. When you play this game, how often have you thought to yourself, oh, to be a spider?
Once or twice.
Sure. Okay. I'm just checking. Because I would
I'm
probably
not gonna
think
say
that.
None.
I would probably think that, oh, to be a spider. Because, you know, they're kind of fearful. I mean, they're kind of, you know, they inspire fear in people. Yeah. And now you are the spider. So maybe there's a little bit more understanding now.
Yeah. Maybe I didn't tell you this is an iPhone game, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. This is not a literary masterpiece.
But let me say it's $2.99, well worth the $2.99.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't played it all that much because I got it, you know, at the end of my trip. So,
yeah.
You know.
In real life, are you afraid of spiders at all?
Not to the degree that some people are.
I am. I'm afraid of spiders.
You?
I don't like them.
I'm much more afraid of rats.
How often do you run into rats?
I live in the city.
Oh.
Actually, all the time.
Okay. You may not want to give out the address where you live. I'm just saying. Or where you work.
That reminds me. Not too long ago, I was walking the dogs, and the bigger dog was kind of sniffing in a hole, and I didn't really... Had one in his mouth.
A rat in
I
his
freaked.
Mouth?
Freaked. Yeah, I freaked.
Was it a big rat?
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the time recently when there was a dead possum in the parking lot out here?
I saw the dead possum in the parking lot.
Okay, here. So I had my windows open because it was nice out, and it was at the end of the day one day, because it was there for like 2 days. So the second day, this woman was walking by outside. I don't know who it was. I couldn't see her. Did I tell you this story?
No, but I can guess where it's going.
Yeah, so she sees the possum out there. She was talking on her cell phone. She sees the possum out there. She goes, oh, my God, there's a giant rat in the parking lot. I'm like, a rat? How could you get a possum?
That thing was like 20 pounds.
I know. It was huge. It was ridiculous.
Where's she from?
I don't know. Apparently a little bit further northwest from here. Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. One time I took our dog outside to take him for a walk.
Your dog is the size of a rat.
Our dog is the size of a rat. He's very small. And, I mean, he's not that small. He's like 10 pounds. I hope right. There are no 10 pound rats running around. Maybe there are. I don't know. But, so, you know, like we live on a cul-de-sac and in part of the cul-de-sac, there's a, you know, manhole cover. So he goes over and he's sniffing in there and he does this every once in a while. But this one particular time he's sniffing in the manhole cover and all of a sudden from down in the manhole, I hear,
and what was it?
I don't know. Swamp gator or something. I don't know what it was.
Swamp gator.
I don't know. It's like a lizard.
Swamp gator.
Lizard man or something.
Palatine.
I didn't want to look. I was too afraid. I mean, it wasn't like a little tiny like snake hissing or something. It was right. Like a big.
Or
like,
it wasn't just air running through the.
No. It was like a. It was some kind of creature.
Right.
I'm going with lizard man.
Okay.
If it wasn't a swamp gator,
then
I'm sure it was
man.
A lizard man.
I'm sure.
I'm just saying. So anyway. Well, that sounds pretty cool. I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
$2.99?
Yes.
Family friendly?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. I, of course, have still been playing World of Warcraft, which I'm enjoying immensely.
You're becoming that guy.
No, not really. I mean, I don't play until, you know, my wife and son are asleep.
Right now.
What?
Right now.
Oh, yeah. Wait till I'm level 80, bitches. that was directed at other players and not my family. Just want to clear that up. I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. I mean, there's just so much to do. Let me talk about some things that I especially like about it. And some of these are not necessarily gameplay related. And some things that I don't like. One thing that I love about it is the game doesn't require any registry hooks. So you can install it on your computer at home. And then you just copy the whole directory and put it on another computer and play it. Which is so cool because it's very rare that you can do that with any contemporary software.
Right.
Again, not totally crazy about the visual style. I've mentioned that before.
Yeah, but you know what? You showed it to me today. It's not archaic.
It's not hideous or anything like that. It's just not as detailed as I personally prefer.
Right.
But I think with the level of detail they have, I think they've done a very nice job. Mm-hmm. You know,
how old is this game again?
I don't really know the answer to that, but I'm going to say maybe 4 or 5 years.
Really?
I think so. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think so. Another thing that I'm not crazy about, you can't have more than 25 quests in your quest list at any one time. And I don't think there's a way to rearrange the different windows. Like, when you open up your different inventory slots, I don't think there's a way to, like, drag them around on the screen, and I would prefer to be able to do that.
Right. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, that's fine.
Just so we get back to this. It's November 22nd, 2004, so it is almost 5 years.
Wow. That's amazing. That is amazing because it's still the number one MMO out there. In fact, I was so into it this past weekend that I did not play the final closed beta of Ion.
Uh-huh. But again, so you are closer to being that guy.
I'm closer to being that guy. Yeah, that's unfortunate, isn't it? But no, it's a lot of fun, and I know there's a lot of cool stuff about it. There, one of the neat things is that when you want to travel from one city to another without walking there, you can go to these people who are they control like either griffins or a thing called a hippogriff, which is another kind of giant flying creature that then you ride to.
Who
the
says
next.
One thing and does another?
Right. No. That's a hypocrite.
Oh.
Yeah. And what's really neat is the way that they program the flight paths of the creatures is really cool because it gives you a very nice scenic view of the city you're leaving, the city you're going to, and the surrounding areas and stuff. So there are a lot of cool details like that. And just there's so many things that seem really well balanced. And it's very interesting to me that they keep modifying those things too and keep fine tuning it. I mean, not that they would stop, especially with how many people play it, but I'm really impressed by how well they've done that stuff because
right.
It was very easy to get into and very easy to get going. And now it's becoming, I'm like level 25 now, my character. And so now it's becoming, a fair amount more challenging and stuff. So it's pretty cool. And I told you this before. Another neat thing is when you choose your character, you can play either the Alliance, which are, quote unquote, the good guys, or the Horde, which are the bad guys. And which doesn't mean that if you're a bad guy character, if you're a Horde character, you just go around killing everybody. It's
right.
just,
right.
one side or the other. And what's really cool is if you run into people on the other side, you cannot interact with them. You like if you try to chat with them through the game's chat interface, whatever you're saying just comes up as gibberish because you can't understand it because you're on the other side. So I think, little details like that are pretty cool. So I've been playing that. I also played a little bit of the beta for Champions Online. We've talked about that a little bit, and that's the superhero game where you get to make your own superhero
yeah.
and your own supervillain. And it's okay. I mean, I had, it was kind of interesting playing around in that world, and I totally dig the fact that they did it in comic book style, so it looks almost more like a motion comic than it does a typical video game. But I was a little bit surprised by the fact that it runs really slowly, and I have a pretty fast...
Janky? Is it janky?
It's a little janky.
Oh.
I mean, I have a pretty fast PC at home. I've got a good video card, and it is...
It's
definitely one of the slowest games, in terms of frame rate
yeah.
that I've played in a long time.
That would annoy me.
And I was just right in the beginning.
Right.
You know what I mean? I wasn't even out in a bigger, more open part of the world.
Were there a lot of other characters in your area?
There were a lot of NPCs. There were not a lot of other players.
I
mean, I saw maybe a dozen or so, which
yeah,
was not that many.
That would be a definite deal breaker for me.
Yeah, I was a little put off by that, I got to say.
I was just looking at stuff on Champions Online right now online.
Yeah.
And it says that it's coming out for the 360 as well, although no date or anything.
Yeah.
But
how are you? I don't know how you're going to play an MMO like that on a console.
Because
you've
got
all
these. I
hope
they figure it out because I'd rather do that.
You've got all these skill ability slots and stuff like that. I don't know how you're going to access those. That's really weird.
They'd find a way to do it. How hard could that be?
Well, okay. Like in Guild Wars, you have. Every skill bar has like 15 slots, and you've got 6 skill bars. How are you gonna manage that on a console?
You'd have a grid. You'd have to go to the.
Yeah, but there are things that you're doing while you're in action. It's not like you need to pick something and then you go do something. You're in the middle of a fight and you're picking stuff from
saying.
That bar.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? So I don't know
speed
how.
Speed bar. You'd have to have a speed
bar.
Bar.
You totally have to have a speed bar. Maybe even some spider powers, but. And they must add different things later in the game because you get to pick three things that define your character. It's like something that gives you power, something that uses power, and the thing that gives you power also is like a cool thing. Like my character that I created, the thing that gives the character power is throwing these ice shards.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how that gives you power, but whatever it does. And then the thing that uses power is chain lightning. And then you've got some other like innate ability that's like, and mine was, you're really hard to hit kind of thing.
Right.
But then later, I guess you get like transportation powers because there are people like gliding around on ice paths and people
cool.
flying and stuff like that. But I don't know, what you have to do to get those powers
right.
yet. I will play it some more because it looks pretty cool. But I was just really surprised that it ran as slowly as it did.
Maybe you'll have a different experience next time you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I'll let you know next week. The other thing that I want to talk about before we get into other game news is I get very annoyed by this. I don't know. Okay, you know how when you're running Vista and you install software And if the software tries to like access the internet or change system settings, you have to do the UAC, you know, approval. You know, it pops up the little thing and you have to say yes.
Right.
Everybody knows that that's going to happen. Every developer knows that that is going to happen. And yet so few of them actually program in some kind of thing that waits for you to do that. So, you know, their installer is running or the game starts and the little thing pops up. And by the time you approve it, the game says, sorry, couldn't connect to the internet, and then shuts down. It's like, what? Why did you just wait?
Right.
Or put in a button that says try again.
Right.
It is so annoying. I forget what I was, I don't know if it was Champions Online or something else I was doing recently. I had to restart the game like 8 times.
So what did you have to do? You just have to be really quick about it?
No, it was, no, because every time it would try to do a patch file, it would pop up the UAC prompt, and then the thing didn't wait. So as soon, but you know, then I hit the UAC and it's like, sorry, couldn't connect. And
there's no way
down.
To temporarily.
Yeah, you can turn UAC off, but I never do.
Right. Well, I mean, in that case, you could have done it and then come back and turn it
back on. I could have, but it's annoying to me that developers don't put something in. They should just put in a button that says retry.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that you don't have to keep starting your stupid program over and over again. So there you are, developers. The gauntlet has been laid down. The challenge has been set. Now it's up to you.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that
there
extreme.
You go. So, okay, miscellaneous game news. Two big things. The first thing, PS3 Slim. Totally official, totally cheap. $299.99, 300 clamatos for a brand spanking new PS3. But there are some caveats. Well, first of all, it's going to have...
It's good. I want to hear some caveats because I feel ripped off.
Well, hey, early adopters, that's the price you pay. Okay, it's going to be available September 1st, which is only, less than 2 weeks away.
Right.
$299.99 for the 120 gig model. The original PS3, although I guess it's not really the original, the current PS3, I should say, because they've changed it a few times, right?
Yes.
And
that's not the most current either.
Okay. But whatever. The PS3 80 gig model is now $299.99. If you go to a store today, you can buy it for that price. The stand for the PS3 Slim will be sold separately for $24.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
It's like a chunk of plastic.
It is a chunk of plastic. So what I would suggest doing is waiting a couple months till like one of these other companies come out with
a better stand
for like $10.
A better stand that also has like a cup holder.
Right. Like Mad Catz or one of those companies will come out with something.
Because you know somebody will. Or if you just have a couple of nice heavy bookends, just stick it between those.
Right.
I would prefer to leave it horizontal anyway because I don't know what it is. I have this thing about I don't like optical drives being vertical. Uh-huh. It just, like, freaks me out. I don't know why. It just seems like it shouldn't work.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's like, if you had a record player, would you want it to be mounted vertically?
No.
Exactly. No. I'm guessing that 67.8% of our listeners have no idea what a record player is.
Come on.
I don't know. Anyone out there who does not know what a record player is, let us know. You can replace the hard drive yourself with any 2.5-inch SATA drive, which is pretty cool. PS3 3.0 software will not be pre-installed on it. So once you get it, you'll have to connect and then do a system update because the 3.0 software doesn't come out until September 1st.
Oh.
So don't you think maybe they should have just like, I realize that it doesn't come out till September 1st, but
maybe they're not
probably,
done working on it.
Yeah, I guess. It does not play PS2 games. So if you want to play PS2 games, don't buy this. You cannot install Linux on it like you could do with some of the previous PS3s, right? Do that?
I don't know. I can't play PS2 games.
Okay. But the original PS3 could, right? Didn't you say that?
The one that came out at launch.
The one that I had for 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah. There's
That's
no power.
Like $3,000 now.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh, God.
You can get PS2 for $99.
Well, I don't know. I thought maybe there was other stuff made it more valuable.
I was kidding.
Man, it scared me for a second there. There's no power switch on the back, so there's only the standby button. And the standby and eject buttons are actual buttons.
Right.
They're not just, you know, touchy buttons.
I have to say, though, I like the touchy buttons.
You do?
I really do. On this, I do.
Here's what I don't like. Like, I have, you know, on my Samsung monitors here at the office, I have, they've got touchy buttons.
Uh-huh.
And what I don't like about them is you have to be very... With a monitor, it's bad because you have to be very gentle when you touch them or you're like moving your monitor.
Right.
Which is dumb. I mean, the PS3, it probably doesn't matter.
No.
But with a monitor, it's a bad idea. I don't know. I guess it's no different than an actual clicky button because you still don't want to push it too hard with a monitor.
Right.
You know what they should do is they should put, oh no, I guess you can't do that. I was going to say they should put the button on the base, but if you're like mounting it on an arm or something,
right.
you got no base.
You've answered your own question there.
I have. Asked and answered. Moving on. There's no media card reader, and there are only two USB ports instead of four. But it's only $300 with a 120 gig hard drive, and it's a PS3.
That's weird.
And a Blu-ray player.
That's weird. There's only two USB ports.
Yeah.
So if you're playing like Rock Band,
maybe you get a hub.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y cable.
But no, that wouldn't make... Well, I guess it would. I mean, how would it... never mind. I was afraid I was going to say something stupid, so I just reframed.
Well, I see. I don't know anything about
Rock Band, you can connect via
USB?
Yes.
On the PS3?
Yes.
Okay.
So...
What happens if you plug them into a PC?
I don't know.
Can you type with a guitar then? Because that'd be kind of weird.
No.
I'm totally writing you a letter. I just made like an air guitar motion, which is why Tony's laughing at me because I have no idea how to play the guitar. So it was probably more like an air accordion or something. All right. Then the other big news for me anyway is that we finally have the first official information about Guild Wars 2 after waiting for 2 years since they announced that they were working on it. Yesterday on the Guild Wars 2 Facebook page, they posted some concept art. And then this morning, this is because GamesCon is going on right now, I think in Germany, right?
Right.
And in Cologne, perhaps. And so this came from GamesCon, and they the Guild Wars 2 website, which is just guildwars2.com, has the first preview trailer for it. And it's really cool because like the first third of it is done with concept art in a sort of motion comic style. And then after that, it transitions to actual, you know, game engine footage. And it's all real after that. And then at the very end, it switches back to the artistic style. But it looks really, really cool. I mean, now you've never played Guild Wars, but no. What did you think of the trailer?
Oh, it was cool.
Gorgeous, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the settings and the environments and just the artwork, that's one of the things I've always loved about that game is because, you know, that game runs very well on a lot of different kinds of hardware. And it's because they spent a lot more time getting their textures and everything to look really good with maybe a little bit lower of a poly count than, you know, making it look good with a higher, you know, right. with higher resolution models and stuff. So it sounds like they're doing the same kind of thing. And then IGN talked to a couple of the people from the Guild Wars team. And so they revealed some details. It takes place 250 years after Guild Wars. And the main enemies are these elder dragons that have been asleep.
They're the meanest.
They are the worst, those guys.
They are really bad.
They've been asleep underwater and now they're awake and they're mad and they're wet. And they control an army of soulless undead who want to wreak havoc on everything.
Wow.
They've got a hunger for destruction, these guys.
Okay.
On. There will be both instanced play, but within a fully persistent world. So in Guild Wars, the only time you were ever with everybody else who was online was when you were in like a city. And then as soon as when you would leave the city, you would go into your own instance of that part of the world.
Right.
And the only other players who were there are any players who were in your group of up to 8 people. But now the whole world is going to be fully persistent, but there will be instanced quests and other events and stuff like that. So that if you, you know, especially I'm
so
I'm
if you decide to
here,
do something alone, no one can get in your way.
Right. Or even with a group for certain, I'm guessing for certain types of quests and everything, you'll be able to have your own objectives, your own loot and all that kind of stuff. You won't have to worry about people
right.
kill stealing and that sort of thing. But I think it's a mixture of the two. It's not just instanced like it was before. There will be 5 playable races. Before you could only play humans. Now you can play the humans or the Char, who were your main enemy at the beginning of the first Guild Wars. The Asura, who are these little tiny dudes. The Norn, which are these big tall people. And the Silvari, who are mysterious, and we know nothing about them. And there will be freeform movement and exploration throughout the persistent world, day and night cycles. A whole new system to deal with dungeons and interior environments, which is pretty cool because there really was not much of that in Guild Wars. I mean, there was some, but not much. And it should still run well on a wide variety of hardware. And then they've got some event system that allows for a lot more varied and cooperative gameplay. The example that they gave about this was kind of cool. It's like if you're, let's say you're in a city and all of a sudden you hear the city guards, you know, who are NPCs yelling about the fact that a bunch of, you know, enemies are coming towards the city. Well, you can join in with the guards and fight these enemies, or you can just not do anything and the enemies may come into the city and start wreaking havoc on the city.
Yep.
Or you may, you know, kill them all and then go attack wherever it is that they came from. But stuff like that sounds kind of cool, too. No word yet on when it's going to be available. Probably sometime next year, though. And then Wolfenstein came out yesterday, or Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Do you know anyone who's got it?
No.
Do you know anyone who's played it?
No.
Do you know anything about it at all?
I know it takes place in Nazi Germany.
And there's zombies.
And there are zombies.
Yeah. There does not seem to be any playable demo. If somebody knows differently, please let us know, because I would like to, you know, I prefer to play a demo of a game before I'm going to plunk down 50 clams for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I did not see anywhere where I could get a demo. And I looked for it, too. I looked for it for like 30 seconds and didn't find it.
Trying to get another review, as I told you.
Yeah, IGN did not give it a great review.
No, GameSpot didn't really either. Well, good. I mean, it's a good review. It's like 7.5, but...
Yeah. But didn't you say that you read some of the reasons why they gave it a lower score and...
Yeah, part of the reasons were like multiplayer. Apparently the graphics engine multiplayer is different than the one in the first...
Yeah, see, I don't care about that. Yeah, the regular game. Right. Single player game.
Single player. And part of their... I guess they tried to make it a little more open world so you can do a little more exploring. But their complaint was that it still was too linear, which wouldn't be a huge deal for me. I mean, because yeah, I would rather it be like a little more exploring but linear than it to be so linear and so track.
Right, that you feel like you can't make any decisions.
Right.
I mean, unless the people putting the levels together are as brilliant as the people who did Half-Life 2.
Right.
Which is really the only game that I've ever played that was completely linear that didn't feel like it at all.
Right.
I think.
BioShock wasn't so bad. Well,
yeah, BioShock.
Half-Life did it better, but
I never really felt like I was making decisions in BioShock. I just felt like this is where I'm supposed to go next.
Right, right.
I mean, that's just me though. But anyway, and then have you heard of this game called Shadow Complex that came out?
Yes,
and I didn't know it
came out already. No, but it looks amazing.
It looks really cool, and it got very good reviews. Ars Technica talked about it, and they said it was really cool.
Yeah, it got like a 9.4 on IGN.
Yeah, they said it does not feel at all like, you know, a $15 downloadable game.
I actually, they showed a little of that at Totally Spacing. What's the big...
E3.
E3, thank you. And they say that this game is going to change the future of like the Xbox Live Arcade games.
Really? Wow.
You're going to start to get more of a full package game experience.
And really... What gamer doesn't want a full package? I'm just saying.
That was a gift.
Thank you.
That was a gift to you.
I appreciate that. You got anything else?
No.
All right, cool. So that's it for video games. Long segment this time, but we will be back after a short break to talk about TV. All right, we're back, and we're going to talk about TV, a.k.a. television. What have you watched that you want to talk about?
True Blood. I'm all caught up on True Blood.
Okay.
We can talk about that.
We'll talk about that. The last couple episodes have been really fantastic.
The best.
So, I mean, this season in general has been great. And, you know, we've talked about this before, but Marianne is horrible. We cannot wait for her to die, basically.
Her.
Right?
Yeah.
Aren't you feeling that?
Yeah.
And, you know, again, kudos to Michelle Forbes for playing such a horrible character
But I will never look at her like she has to play those characters from now on because
you can never like her, basically.
I can't like her, no.
Now, have you seen her in other stuff?
I know she's done a lot of other stuff. She was in Lost for a very short.
She was?
Yeah. She was the.
Did we talk about this before?
Yes.
Didn't you say she was back when they went to L.A.?
When the Oceanic 6 was being rescued, she was the one on the plane, like, prepping them like, for their press conference.
Yeah, I mean, she was in Next Generation, and that's the first place that I saw her. And then she was in something else. I can't remember what
she's
else she
played. She's been in a lot of movies. Hold on.
Yeah, she's been in a ton of stuff.
Apparently she was on The Guiding Light.
But, yeah, I mean, she just plays this kind of character so exceptionally well.
She's in The Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah, I don't even remember that. I mean, I remember the movie, but I just don't remember.
Battlestar Galactica Razor.
Oh, that's right. She played the nasty captain. Did you ever see that yet?
She's the voice of Dr. Judith Mossman in Half-Life 2, Episode 2.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. I think in all the Half-Life 2 games. Yeah.
That's interesting. Prison Break. She was on Prison Break.
Never saw it. Now, let me ask you a question. Not to get too off track yet, but the main dude from Prison Break, is that the guy who was in G.I. Joe? Is the main guy in G.I. Joe from Prison Break?
That's Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum is the one in G.I. Joe. Wentworth Miller is the one in Prison Break.
Do they look identical?
No.
Okay.
But I can... they're similar. They have shaved heads. So that's pretty...
That's it?
Yeah.
Could be Yul Brynner.
Wentworth Miller is probably about 5 to 10 years older than... Channing Tatum also.
Well, what's Channing Tatum from other than G.I. Joe?
Step It Up.
Never saw it.
Fighting.
Never saw it.
I would guarantee that you haven't seen anything he's been in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Couple music videos.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't watch those.
She was also on a season of 24, which...
I don't remember that either.
It was 2003.
What?
So it was second season because it was day two. Second season.
Boy, I do not remember.
Oh, I don't... But I want to say that I remember her being on there, but I don't...
Yeah. But anyway, she plays Marianne on True Blood, and she's just the worst. We don't really know what she is. She's some kind of, you know, god or demon or... Just she's a very bad, horrible being, and she's wreaking havoc everywhere she goes, and she's ruining lives.
Oh, California. She was in California.
Yeah, I never saw that. Because isn't that the one they spelled wrong?
And you won't see it. Oh, Swimming with Sharks? I love Swimming with Sharks.
I don't even remember her in that. But anyway, so the last couple episodes have dealt with the aftermath of the whole Light of Day Institute thing. Nice. And, you know, a couple episodes ago, you know, Godric basically says, look, we're not going to fight you guys. We're just going to walk away, and we hope that you just respect us, basically.
Right.
So they all go back to Godric's place, which, by the way...
Very nice house.
Very nice house.
If that's somebody, kind of incentive to be a vampire.
Yeah, exactly, right there. Well, what do they do to get all their money? Is it just that they save for so long because they're 2,000 years old? You can probably just go and steal whatever you want, right?
Exactly.
When you're a vampire.
You're fast, first of all.
Yeah, you just run in.
Who's gonna catch
grab
you?
The loot and run out. Yeah, but so, I mean, just fabulous home. And then there was a little incident where Bill's maker, she headed in for Sookie, but Godric stopped that too. And there were just so many great moments in both of the last two episodes. There was what's Bill's maker's name? I can't remember.
Oh,
Melody.
Yeah, I won't
Mione, Mopey. I can't remember.
Is it worth me looking up?
Not really.
No.
But anyway, she tried to kill Sookie, and Godric stopped her, and he's like, I don't know who you are, don't really care, but I want you out of here, and I don't ever want you to come back. And then Bill walks her out for some reason, and she said, you know.
Because Godric told him to.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Make sure she takes a hike. And so he walks her out, and she says, when will I see you again? And and he says, never.
It's time for radio.
Because we may be immortal, but you're dead to me. That was a cheesy line. Totally cheesy. Well, you're not a huge Bill fan, are you?
I'm not a fan of Bill. He's a little... he's a bore.
He's wishy-washy.
Yeah, and he's
that's
a
why
bore.
He and Sookie are perfect, because she's wishy-washy, too.
I like her more than I like him.
Yeah. Okay, we have to talk about this. Right. When Sookie and Eric were trying to break out of the Light of Day Institute Church, there was the line that we talked about this before that I said that I liked, but I'm going to mention it again. She's talking to him about Godric, and she's like... You know, she says, he's your maker, isn't he? And he says, don't use words you don't understand. And she says, I know you got a lot of love for him. And he turns to her and says, don't use words I don't understand. That was a great line.
Yeah.
But then, for some reason, Eric decides to channel Jim Carrey and as he tries to make his escape from the church. That was the weirdest scene all season. Didn't you think he looked like Jim Carrey, like, doing a goofy face?
Yeah.
If you go back and watch it again, I'm telling you, he looks just like Jim Carrey doing a caricature.
I'd like to know what else he's done.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen him before. But so that was great. And then there was this whole thing where the woman from TV, the vampire lady, what's her name? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. But she shows up at Godric's house, and she's all mad because they've created a, you know, PR nightmare. Oh, I guess I should say that...
That's all he's done.
This is the only thing he's ever been in. That's his only thing on IMDb?
Only thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, he's not the greatest actor in the world, but he's good at that character.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I take that back.
5 pages of stuff.
I pressed on the character name rather than the actor's name.
Wow, amazing that Eric has only been in True Blood.
And what was funny was the reason how I realized it in the bio, it said that he was 1,000 years old.
That's awesome.
Oh, no, he's done lots of stuff.
Is he Canadian or something?
Swedish.
Really? Yeah. So he kind of is a Viking. I wonder if he, you know, he didn't need any lessons when they were speaking Swedish to each other.
In fact, he's been in some stuff that's not in English.
Really?
Yeah. In addition to Zoolander.
I have to say, I feel kind of like bad about myself when I hear about all these actors who speak like three or four different languages fluently. Uh-huh. Like, would you have ever guessed that he was not a native English speaker?
I wouldn't think of it either way. You know, I work with people who speak at least two to three languages.
This is what I'm saying.
So it's not weird to me that.
But that's what I'm saying. Is I feel bad then about myself. It's like, why don't I speak more languages?
Why don't you speak more languages?
I don't have time for that.
Well, then you've answered your own question.
what was the other dude from Light of Day Institute? Jason's buddy.
Jake?
No.
Is it Jake?
Yeah, you're getting him confused with the
Bo-Hung. Oh, 16 Candles.
Bo-Hung from 16 Candles.
No, I want to say his name was Jake.
It was not Jake.
I hope I find it's Jake.
I don't think it was Jake. Really? I don't think it was Jake.
Go ahead. I'll find it.
Okay, but anyway, so he shows up at Godric's house. Who knows how he got the address? Didn't you wonder about that? Like, how did he find out where Godric lived?
Right, that's true.
So he shows up there with a bomb and blows the place up. And a bunch of vampires die and a bunch of people die. And so then the blonde vampire lady from TV comes and she's yelling at Godric because he screwed up. And she fires him as sheriff.
Hey, I wasn't far from Jake. It's Luke.
But that's not Jake.
No, but it's close.
Whatever. So she comes and fires Godric. And I loved it when she snapped at Eric and said, "Hey, watch it. You want to lose your post too, Viking?" That was kind of funny. But and Eric makes some comment like, "You don't have the authority to do that." She's like, "I'm on TV," which was a pretty funny line. But so then Godric decides that he's had enough and he's going to go upstairs and stand on the roof as the sun comes up and kill himself.
That was a little.
And then there was the whole thing where Eric made Sookie suck his blood because he claimed that he was dying.
Great.
And he tricked her. And so now he can sense her emotions.
Not only that, but she has sexual attraction to him. She had a dream about him.
Right, which was... I liked Eric a little bit less after that dream.
Why?
I know it was her dream, but he was so like... He was so like... soft. You know what I mean? Like, if she's going to have a dream about him, wouldn't she have a dream about him the way he is?
No, because she hates him. She hates the way he is. So for her to be attracted to him, he would have to be not the way he is.
It was too, like, tender and lovey-dovey.
No, I liked it. Yeah. I really liked it because it like, even though that was a dream, it added some dimension to his character, I thought.
Yeah.
No, I really liked that.
Yeah, I didn't like that. But anyway, so then for some reason, Sookie tells Bill that she needs to be on the roof with Godric. And Bill's like, "Okay, Sookie." I don't know why he was okay with that, but so
she's kind of a meddler. She's got to be right in the middle of everything.
She is kind of troublesome.
Yeah.
She's a troublemaker.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens, I guess, when you can read people's thoughts.
Yeah.
You just like all up.
Yeah. Isn't
you're
that
all
enough?
Up in everyone's grill? Right. Like all the time.
Isn't knowing what they're thinking enough that you got to be right in the middle of everything?
Yeah. Well. So she goes upstairs and Eric has a big crybaby fest, which was actually a pretty. It was a little cheesy, but it was kind of touching at the same time. And then Sookie and Godric have this weird conversation that gets very theosophical. And, you know, he says, you know, "Will I see God? Will he forgive me or hate me?"
It lost me there.
And then he says, "A human standing with me at my dying hour, now I see God." It's like, no, that's just Sookie.
That was
still.
Just Sookie.
Sookie. And I still want to know what's going to happen when Sookie comes home and Marianne is there.
Right, because she has destroyed that house.
Oh, and not only that, but and then there was this great scene with Lafayette, and who went and got Tara's mom,
right,
to come and kidnap her away from that horrible, awful situation, because he saw that, you know, she had been beat up after her and Eggs had the heart souffle, which was just so nasty. But so I mean, just great, great last couple of episodes.
It's been great. It's only got three more.
Three more, yeah. I think. Yeah. So do you think Marianne's going to be dealt with somehow permanently?
I hope so.
I really do not want her coming back next season.
I don't
season.
Think she will. I don't think she'll be back next season.
That would be too grating and annoying.
They'll deal with it by the end.
Okay. They better.
I mean, because if you notice, just like the last season, there's this whole running like enemy, and then it's taken care of in the last one. So I think they'll do that again this time.
Although, you know, if you think about it, Marianne was introduced probably three episodes before the end.
Right. So I think they'll introduce something else that will play into
the next couple the next couple of episodes.
Yeah.
What do you think it's going to be?
I can't
werewolves?
Begin to think. That would be cool.
Hey, what happened to the bellboy? Is he dead or is he alive?
The one that could also read
thoughts?
He's dead.
He is dead?
Yeah.
Bill's maker ate him?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I know she bit him, and then she said, "You don't taste human. What are you?" And then he hit her on the head with the plasma TV.
So maybe he maybe will he got come away. Back.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting.
That would be interesting.
Okay, and then we've also been watching Warehouse 13, which I think you should give that another
no,
chance.
No, I'm not going to do it.
That's it?
Do they have new writers?
Yes.
You are totally lying.
I don't know who their writers are.
No.
It's a lot of fun.
I don't want it to be fun. I want it
what?
To be, well, because when you say fun, it immediately makes me think that they're still cracking jokes and,
but it's funny now. It's funny now.
No,
because
it wasn't funny then and it's not funny now.
No, it's funny now because they have a relationship. They have a relationship. So I don't mean like boyfriend, girlfriend. I mean, they have a relationship as partners in what they do for work. So it's not the, you know, hero making the joke after he kills a bad guy kind of thing. It's like two people who work together would joke around.
I'm not watching it.
It's really fun, I'm telling you. And then we watched the last few episodes of Atlantis on DVD. It's so sad when a good show ends.
Speaking of,
yeah.
As I was giving out sales advice for the first season of Mad Men on Blu-ray,
yeah,
I just got the second season of Mad Men on Blu-ray from Amazon for $24.
Wow.
Yeah, it just came yesterday. So I've got 10 hours of Mad Men ahead of me.
Wow, that's a lot of Mad Men. Any other TV you want to talk about?
No, we got no TV. Oh, we do have TV news.
Yeah, we got some TV news.
Okay.
Paula Abdul's manager says that she is not talking to American Idol and is not considering joining So You Think You Can Dance either.
So she will not be getting paid for doing
nothing. Exactly. And she feels great and she feels free.
Yeah.
Free of any
money.
Occupational
right.
occupational responsibilities and or
right.
hazards.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, and or money. I still am not convinced the whole thing is not a publicity scam.
From her standpoint?
But all of it. Like all
I don't think so.
A whole big orchestrated event.
I don't think so.
Hey man, Juno Joyner. Okay.
Who?
Juno Joyner, the one who said it was all fixed.
Oh.
You don't think they're gonna entrust a $1 billion enterprise to the public, do you? I got no evidence, but I'm telling you it's fixed. American Idol guest judges might include, because you know they're doing guest judges.
Right.
Might include Kelly Clarkson, herself in American Idol. Mary J. Blige. You have to say it like that. You can't say her name
Why
without
are you saying it
I don't
like
know.
That?
Every time I hear her name said on television
like
or on the
that,
radio,
though.
It's Mary J. Blige.
I like that.
I don't like it. It bugs me. And Shania Twain and Joe
well,
Jonas.
If you're going to say Mary J. Blige like that, you got to say Shania. Shania Twain.
Shania Twain and Joe Jonas. That's like the Taco Bell guy voice.
Yeah.
Now with every three tacos at Taco Bell, you can get an autographed picture of Joe Jonas, soon to be a guest judge on American Idol. How do you like that?
No, I did like that.
Okay. David Anders will join the cast of 24.
Who's that?
David Anders is great. He was on Alias, and then he was also on Heroes. He was the guy with the sword in ancient Japan, who then was a bad guy. In
oh, I like that guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's great.
Oh, that's a good guy.
Oh, that's a good guy I have in your show. Yeah.
I like that guy.
I like that guy. Doesn't it feel hot in here to you? It feels really warm in here.
Maybe
I think
a little.
Something's broken.
Maybe a little. But I know when I say that you're going to make it like 40 degrees in
no,
here.
No, I'm not going to do that. Justin Timberlake.
You're having hot flashes or something.
I don't know. It just feels very warm in here. Justin Timberlake and Billy Joel both refused to let Kathy Griffin use their phone calls on her show. Now you watch it. I didn't.
Yes.
I guess she would, whatever celebrities were on her show, she would have them,
she had
call,
them call
people
other celebrities.
That she couldn't get a hold of.
That was the funniest part.
Yeah. So,
let me say this season, it ended already, this season of Kathy Griffin, but, so great. It was so great. I mean, if she won Emmys for her past seasons, she will certainly win it for this season.
I have to say, I lost a lot of respect for her after you told me that story that you told me. About her performing at the Apollo. If that had been staged as a joke, then it's funny.
I think she may have staged it, but it didn't go her way. But you know
but
you
what I'm
saying?
What I'm saying is, if you have in real life,
right?
If she had an audience full of kids,
it wasn't an audience full of kids. There were just a couple kids there. Well, not a couple. There was like,
I thought you said there was a lot of kids because it was a kids' performance before that.
Right, the kids that performed were there.
Okay.
It wasn't like a...
anyway.
She wasn't playing to a crowd full of kids.
My point being, though...
There were just kids present.
My point being is that she said something very inappropriate in front of young kids.
Right. But, you know what? I'm going to defend her here. But that's her. That's her act. I mean, she doesn't play to kids. Her act is what it is.
My point is that if she was at a grocery store and she's standing in front of somebody
with
little
kids...
She's not,
though. She's on the stage doing her act.
Right. And she knew there were kids there.
But her act is what her act is.
Right, but just like you alter your behavior when you're around certain people, you have to. I mean, once she found out that there were going to be kids there, she didn't. What I'm saying is, she didn't have to say what she said. It was very inappropriate to say in front of kids, and you cannot not take seriously how difficult it is to try to raise kids well in this day and age with all the exposure there is to bad stuff. And all I'm saying
is,
but
I think
what
she said wasn't that bad.
How old were the kids?
I don't know. They were kids. I
mean, they weren't like, teenagers, right?
Some of them were, but some of them were younger.
Okay. I'm just saying it was a really
but
bad call.
Let me
call.
Just say, the audience wasn't kids. The audience was adults. There were kids that performed before her.
Right.
So the audience was
adults. But they
were
there, right?
They
Still?
Were there. Yes, yeah. They were there.
And that's what I'm saying, is that it was completely... I think it was a really bad call on her part. And
she suffered the consequence for it. But, I mean...
Yeah.
She got kicked off the stage.
She's obviously never going to have her own children. Let's just say that.
Well, I mean, she makes no bones about the fact that she doesn't want to.
Right.
But.
See, you don't have kids. You don't understand.
Yeah, but because you have kids, you think everyone should, like. I don't know. I mean, I'm respectful. Okay, we're going to get into this.
Right.
We're
going to
get into
Here's
the
what
thing
I'm saying.
On the plane.
If you were. Yeah, but that I was kidding around, and you were kidding around. I mean, I know you were serious.
Yeah,
but
to a point, I was serious. I just think that.
It's public.
Hey,
it's public. It's not. I mean,
it wasn't
not,
public. People paid to get in there.
That's what I'm saying, though. But it's open to anyone. It's not like it's a private club.
No,
anyone is allowed to
that's
fly.
That's her shtick.
Just like if you got on a bus that
I mean,
you had to pay for, or if you got on a train that you had to pay for. Anyone's
allowed.
Oh, I'm
not talking
to
about the plane. I'm talking about her.
But it doesn't matter. If
it does matter. That's her shtick.
It doesn't
that's
matter.
That's her shtick.
It doesn't matter. There were kids
if
there.
If you're going to
once
see
you,
her
once
and you don't know what she does.
Once
I mean,
you find out the audience that you thought was going to be there is different than what you thought was going to be there, you have a responsibility to change what you're doing.
I disagree. If that's your show and we're gonna disagree on that.
Just like if you're at a party and you don't think there's going to be kids there and all of a sudden kids show up, you don't keep swearing.
No, that's different. I'm not being paid to do what I'm known to do at the party.
Yeah. But she's paid to be a comedian. She's not paid specifically
to... No, but her whole act is...
Her whole act is making fun of stuff.
In a blue way. She,
not always.
Always. That's what she says she does. She says her whole career is making jokes about genitalia.
Yeah.
She says that. That's how she sums up her whole
career.
Yeah,
but I've seen plenty of stand-up that she's done that has not... been like that
because it's been edited.
Yeah, but you know,
well, I mean, that's edited for television,
right?
Yeah,
so does she say that that's not right?
No, but if you pay to go see her, I mean,
yeah, but again, there were kids there.
I don't know. I think to completely judge her based on, I mean,
I'm not saying I'm completely judging her, I'm just saying I lost respect for her because I think it was completely inappropriate, and she obviously doesn't have any idea how difficult it is. And not that she would because she doesn't.
Because she said one word, you think that's ruined all those children?
I think
those children don't hear that word all the time?
What? I never heard that word when I was that young.
Oh, come on.
I never heard that word until I was in high school.
Okay. Well, then you were very sheltered.
I was.
This is the Apollo Theater. I mean, like.
All right. I'm just saying. It was a kid's performance on before her. She should have tailored. She should have toned it down at least enough to the point where she wasn't going to say something like that in front of kids. Because look what happened. It got her kicked out. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but I mean, it's...
Anybody with a brain would know...
It was a word.
Anybody with a brain would know that it was inappropriate to say in those conditions.
You know what? I have to kind of take her side.
No, I understand what you're saying. I understand that her shtick is her shtick. But... You also have to remember that part of the deal was her going to a place
she didn't know kids were going to
that she would not normally have performed at.
Right.
Okay. So she was putting herself in a situation that she's not normally in the first place.
Well, and it didn't work out for her.
Exactly.
Obviously. I mean, she didn't have good results.
I'm just saying. I just think that was really uncool of
I'm
her.
I'm tired now. But we should just, so people understand what we're talking about. I had posted something on Facebook because I was on a plane with a lot of misbehaving children.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about a baby crying. Yeah. I'm talking about misbehaving children.
Oh, that's completely different. That's completely different. It is.
Well, let me just say the baby crying as well. I mean, that I can forgive to a certain extent. But if a baby's sitting in front of me through the whole flight, if I paid $500 for a flight and there's the comment I made was that there should be an option to take a flight where there are no children.
Right. Here's the thing. I a baby crying, you can't do anything about.
If you know your baby's going to cry for 5 hours, you shouldn't bring your baby on a flight.
Well, how would you know that your baby's going to cry for 5 hours? You would never know that. I mean, unless your baby just cries all the time anyway, yeah. But you know, but
okay. I mean, I'm willing to forgive that, but it was misbehaving children.
Yeah, and if the parents aren't doing anything to try to stop it,
that's the problem I have, is that parents, they have a tolerance to their child acting that way, whereas the people around them do not.
Well, no, but I agree that they shouldn't be like that. I mean, parents have a responsibility for their kids in terms of at least trying to make the situation better. Not only for the kid, but for everyone around them, because they are in some place that everyone is paid to be in. So if your kid, I mean, if the kid's like, you know, throwing stuff at you from over the seat and the parents don't do anything, that's entirely unforgivable. If they have a crying baby, like our son was crying on one of the flights that we were on recently.
Yeah. No,
we gave him a pacifier. We gave him a bottle. He was still crying. There was nothing we could do about it.
I understand that.
You know what I mean? He kicked the guy's seat in front of him. We took his shoes off. We eventually took him out of his seat so he couldn't reach it anymore. There was nothing else we could do.
That wasn't the case here.
Right. No. No, I agree with you that people definitely need to, you know, to try to manage their kids. And granted, you can't always be successful. Just like if a husband and wife were on a plane and the husband was, you know, saying obnoxious stuff or getting drunk and being obnoxious, you can't blame the wife for the husband's behavior. You know,
No, but that's different. I mean, the husband is responsible for his own actions.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But and so parents...
In the case of the kids, the parents are responsible.
Yeah, I mean, up to a point. You can't... After a point, you can't, you know, control a situation more than you can control it. What are they going to do?
Not fly with that child if that child can't
Okay,
behave.
But they're already on the plane. What are you going to do at that point?
Well, they knew before they got on the plane that their kid acts this way.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just saying, as the person who paid such and such to fly in comfort... I think I should have
I was going to say, if you're adding in comfort on the end of that, you're already making a mistake your own.
I'm just saying you understand my frustration. So me just saying, my only comment was, I mean, I know that that's going to happen.
Right.
My comment was, I think they should offer an option where there are no children.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I know that you were saying it partially
jokingly.
In joking. The reality of the situation is the airline industry sucks too bad to do that.
Right.
Because you'd never fill all those planes. But I hear you. And you definitely, as a parent, get a tolerance for crying, because sometimes there is just nothing that you can do to make your baby feel better.
So you can understand the person with no kids who's sitting behind you that doesn't have the tolerance for crying.
I understand them not having the tolerance for it. I do not understand them being obnoxious about it.
No, not being obnoxious.
Well, because that's what happened to us on a plane. A guy like started to threaten us.
Yeah,
because our son
wrong.
Was crying.
That's wrong.
And then he told me But this is the best part. We were flying from New York to Chicago. He said, well, are you going to buy me a ticket to Rhode Island? I'm like, what does that have to do with anything?
Did you buy a Rhode ticket?
No. No, what I said was, he's 1 year old. What's your excuse?
Right.
Which I thought was a pretty good quip. Yeah. He didn't like that.
So you didn't buy him a ticket to Rhode Island?
No, I did not buy a ticket to Rhode Island. Which had nothing to do with anything. Finally, the last little bit of TV news we have is that Patton Oswalt joins the cast of Caprica as a recurring character named Baxter Sarno.
That hasn't started yet, though.
No. Right? Who's a Caprican comedian talk show host. So big stretch for Patton Oswalt on that one. Playing a comedian. Did you want to say anything about him?
Later.
Oh, later.
Yep.
Okay. That's all I have for TV. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. Last week, as I alluded to, I had seen G.I. Joe, but didn't want to talk about it because I knew you had seen it.
I have seen it.
And, in a couple words, what'd you think?
G.I. Joe made me want to be a 14-year-old boy again.
It was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
It was a lot of fun.
See, now here's something where I'm saying it's a lot of fun, and you're not turned off by it.
Huh?
Because when I said that Warehouse 13 is a lot of fun, you said you didn't like that. But this was a lot of fun.
Because that's crap. And this is, God, no, I'm kidding. Okay. I'm kidding. No, because fun, because I just picture the slapstick.
No, it's not slapsticky. But anyway, let's just talk about G.I. Joe. Yeah. We were very pleasantly surprised. I mean, not a
let's
great...
Let's be honest. We both went into this expecting...
Terribleness.
Well, I wasn't expecting terribleness, but I was just expecting nothing.
Yeah, I was expecting it to not be good.
Right.
And it was very entertaining.
It
I mean,
was.
It was kind of like the entire movie was entertaining.
It was. And I have to say, between the special effects and the gadgets and the... And there was a constant level of energy.
Right.
And, yeah, the dialogue was silly and over the top.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I expected that.
Sure. The effects, for the most part, were fabulous. There was one effect in particular that was so terrible that we couldn't believe it made it in the film. There's a scene where they first get recruited into the Joes. Even before that, when they're just going back to their facility, which is out in the desert, and there's like a... You know, a secret door that opens up and then this plane flies down into the base. When they showed that shot of the plane going down into the base, seriously, the worst effects I've seen in a major motion picture in years. It was so bad. It was so
bad. Well, because they tried to add all this particle effect to it with the sand and that,
right? it was just terrible.
Is that the scene you're talking about?
Yeah, where it was like going down into that opening in the sand. It was just so bad. And you know what? I'm gonna go off on a tangent here for a second because we're talking about bad effects. Did you notice a few episodes ago on True Blood when they showed a long shot of the hotel, that vampire hotel, that had the like superimposed hotel name on the side of the building, how bad that effect was?
I want to say that I noticed that.
Oh my God, it was so terrible. It was the same kind of thing. It's like, what? How did that make it in there?
Right.
But anyway, so yeah, that was really bad. But most of the effects were really good. And just a lot of cool...
And the gadgets.
A lot of cool gadgets and vehicles and just all sorts of stuff that was just so much fun.
It was fun. I mean, really, if I were 14 and I had seen that movie, I would have gone
probably
nuts.
Like your favorite movie of all time.
I would have gone nuts.
Yeah. And most of the acting was, I think, appropriate for the film. Mm-hmm. The lead guy, I was not crazy about.
Channing Tatum. You asked what he had been in, and I gave you a couple. Let's see if there's anything you may have seen him in.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? He actually, I've seen him in stuff, and I think he's good at in the stuff he's been in. I just think he was miscast. I think you need someone a little bigger and not so street to play that
role.
Yeah,
he seemed a little, he actually seemed a little soft in terms of his mannerisms. He was kind of a little too laid back, I want to say.
Oh, that's right. He was in Public Enemies, too, but you didn't see that.
Oh, I haven't seen that. But I was actually kind of surprised that, for instance, I thought Sienna Miller was really good in this. Like, I actually thought she lent a little bit more credibility to the film because of her performance.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't know it was her till after. I mean, I've seen her in a couple things, but she to me, is very, like, nondescript.
Yeah, she's so, kind of a... You know you've heard of her, but you can't really remember where.
Actually, I've heard of her more because of her off-screen shenanigans.
Is she involved in a lot of shenanigans?
Oh, she was the one that was engaged to Jude Law, but then Jude Law got caught... doing the babysitter.
Okay.
And so she broke up with him.
But that's not her shenanigans.
Well, that's, I mean, her off-screen.
Yeah.
Not her shenanigans, but just all that goes on.
I thought you meant
off-screen.
Like, you know, Lindsay Lohan.
And now
kind
she's
of
like with Balthazar Getty, I think.
Yeah.
And apparently she's rude to, you know, people in public. I don't know.
Oh, that doesn't sound very nice.
No, but.
No, see, there's a little tie in there because Balthazar Getty was on the last season of Alias. And the other female lead in G.I. Joe, Rachel Nichols, was his partner. On the last season of Alias. And so maybe there's like a whole three-way going on.
If he gets his way.
I'll tell you right now, if there's going to be a three-way going on, you'd do a lot worse than having Rachel Nichols and Sienna Miller in that three-way.
Yeah.
Rachel Nichols is
Rue McClanahan and...
Zelda Rubinstein.
Exactly.
You know, now 20 years ago, our go-to girl for the... The bad part of the three-way would be like Wendy Jo Sperber, but she's dead.
Yeah.
So you got to respect the dead.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I have to say, when I said Rue McClanahan, I almost said Bea Arthur, and I stopped myself.
I think Zelda Rubinstein, I don't even know if she's still alive, but she's going to pretty much perpetually be a go-to girl for all things relatively unappealing in the
but
female
But also
part
back to G.I. Joe, I thought the story, okay, yeah, the dialogue was, but the story was good.
And, yeah, it was interesting.
And the little, I mean, I know you got the little, there's a little secret in it. I didn't know it. I was surprised by it.
Oh, right, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
there were a couple secrets. Yeah. There were a couple secrets.
Yeah. Yeah, there were, and I guess the secrets, but still very entertaining.
And my friend Mark, who's in it, I've mentioned that before. I have a friend who's in it. He had three lines. That was nice.
So there you go. That was pretty cool. And obviously set up for a sequel.
Completely set up for
a sequel. You know, I have to say, I really like Dennis Quaid, but...
Yeah, not so good
you know,
this. Yeah.
He was a little too Dennis Quaid-y.
And he, you know, to be the big sergeant or general, whatever he is, he weighs what, like a buck five?
Did you just say he weighs a buck five?
I'm just saying he's little. He should have gotten someone bigger than that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because
I know nothing of the G.I. Joe world.
Yeah, me either.
So I don't know if, you know, if maybe they were cast based on
something else that we don't know about.
Earlier mythos.
I think if you just look at him as a guy, he looks like he could be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, facially and stuff like that.
Talking about Channing Tatum or
Dennis Quaid? Dennis Quaid. But, you know, he's just not that tough to me.
Right.
That's the whole thing.
It's the
like,
buck five.
I thought he was a lot better suited to his role, for instance, in Innerspace, where you could see him as a test pilot, because they don't
right.
have to be big hulking
right.
beating you over the head with the club guys. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that was probably one of his better
And I have to say, I was a little worried at the beginning because I didn't even know he was in it when I saw Wayans' brother. I'm like, oh, this is going to he's going to be the one with the snappy one-liners. And he wasn't annoying to me.
Yeah.
He had the snappy one-liners, but not, you know, they weren't out of context and hit you over the head.
Did you notice that Mr. Echo was in the movie?
I just saw in the credits that he was in it.
Yeah. He was the other black dude in the Joes. The one who was already there before right. the Wayans' right. brother got there. Yeah, I get a little cringy when I hear that a Wayans has anything to do with anything.
Right. But he wasn't terrible
no,
in this.
No, he was, I thought he was better than Channing Tatum actually yeah. in his part. What was I going to say? But yeah, and there really were some cool effects and some lots of good action and that sort of thing. So if you just want a good summer popcorn movie,
yeah,
definitely check it out. Definitely check it out.
It certainly beats, I mean, I didn't see the most recent one, but I certainly liked it a lot better than Transformers.
Yeah, totally different kind of movie.
How so?
I think. Well, I really see, I know that Sam is kind of the central character in Transformers.
Uh-huh.
The movie doesn't really, those movies don't really feel to me like they're personal for him. It feels more like they're about the robots. Whereas this movie, I think the main people, the story's about them.
I think that's just you then.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the
central characters to Transformers are the robots and not...
Yeah. I mean, in terms of what the weight of the story has to do with is the robots, not really us. I mean, it has to do with us because we happen to be on the planet where they're causing trouble, but... I thought there was a lot less personal stuff going on for Sam in the movies than there was for the robots.
I think what you're trying to say is you can relate more with robots than you can with humans.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's what you're saying.
I know, and I don't think I'm far off with that.
I don't think that's accurate, and I'm going to call my friend R2 over in the corner to back me up. That's a joke.
You're not going to start beeping, are you?
No, sorry, that was Key Ops from Battle of the Planets. did you ever watch that when you were younger?
No.
You never did?
No.
Oh, my God, that was a great show.
You're older than I am.
I'm less than a year older than you.
I know.
What was I going to say? I don't know, but it was a lot of fun. And then I also saw District 9, but I'm going to wait.
Because I will see it this
week. Right, because you'll see it, right?
But you like, I definitely, I promise.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot. I thought it was great. Not perfect by any means, but I did think it was a great movie. Really enjoyed it. It was just different. You know, it was so nice to see something that wasn't based on a previous property or a sequel or anything like that. And it was cool to boot. There was some stuff in there. There were some little details in that movie that were so cool. So cool. But I'll leave it at that. And then you saw...
I saw on the plane on the way there, I downloaded to my phone, Fanboys. It's that movie. It's a comedy. It's not a... documentary,
right?
Because there are no such things as documentaries,
exactly.
About Star Wars fans, and I have to say, I mean, I knew it was gonna. I just, you know, wanted something light that would probably make me laugh a little, and I have to say, it was entertaining. I mean, the acting was pretty good.
Was it pretty funny?
Yeah, I mean, it
was
is
it
what you
like,
expect it to be.
Was it like geek inside joke funny, or was it like laugh out loud funny?
A little of both.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of like, you know, cringe you know, stuff that tries to be funny that's not.
Oh.
But
that's not good.
But no, no. But I mean, there's some really funny stuff, and I would recommend it. I think you would enjoy it.
Yeah.
But what's really funny about it, and this, you know, there's really nothing to ruin. So I mean, I'm like, but there's one part where they have, you know, let me just give a little backstory. It takes place right before episode one comes out, before the Phantom Menace.
Okay.
And so the whole story is about them taking a trek to Lucas, to Skywalker Ranch, to try to break in and see it before it's released. So
that's kind of funny.
Right there, you know.
Yeah,
the it's quality ridiculous. Of it right yeah. there, yeah. But on the, it's a, you know, it's a bit of a road movie. On their way, they run in, they happen to run into some Trekkies.
Okay.
So it's kind of funny, the fight between the two of them.
That's kind of funny.
But yeah, it is what it is.
Although, you know, that's such an old joke about the fight between the Star Trek fans and the Star Wars fans. I have never actually seen a fight break out between Star Trek fans and Star Wars fans. Ever.
No, well, are you ever really around enough of them?
No, but I mean, in the situation that you just mentioned, what are the odds that they would run into Star Trek people on the way to break into Skywalker Ranch?
Oh, because they purposely took a detour to go through Iowa,
yeah,
where Kirk is apparently from, and there's a big like Star Trek fan gathering.
Well, did they do it because they knew the Star Trek people were there and they wanted to pick a fight?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, at least then that's not as ridiculous. No.
But Seth Rogen plays the main Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
And he's really funny because he's in like Klingon
garb.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to go to Comic-Con next year.
I would love to.
Yeah, we should do that. Well, that's cool. I'll probably see that at some point, maybe, if I ever get around to it. Did you want to talk about John Hughes at all?
Well, I mean, you guys talked about it last week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly disappointing.
It's sad. And as you discussed before, you were in a John Hughes film.
Yeah, I was in one of his masterpieces.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I call it that now because he's the same.
Because you were in it.
I have to be honest, that's not one of my favorite movies by him.
No, I actually am not a fan of that film. I was very annoyed by that movie.
I mean, I think my work really enriches the film.
I think so.
But
in fact, the part your scene was probably the best scene in the film.
You think?
No.
Well, thank you though for that moment of boost.
No, I was very annoyed by that movie in many ways.
Yeah.
No, my favorites of his.
Some Kind of
Wonderful. Well, Vacation. I still count it as a John Hughes movie. Yeah. Vacation, 16 Candles, Some Kind of Wonderful, Home Alone.
Not Breakfast Club?
It's not one of my favorites.
Oh, it is one of my favorites.
I know. And most people say that's his best movie.
I just watched the whole thing not too long ago, like 2 weeks before he died.
Yeah.
I just watched the whole thing, and I really thought, I mean, it just happened to start, and I'm like, oh, I'll catch a little of this. I bet it doesn't hold up. It totally holds up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's interesting. But no, I think because it's a much heavier movie.
Right.
I mean, it is very funny, but it's a pretty serious movie. And so I think at that stage in my life, that's not really what I was into. Whereas, you know, 16 Candles was just so funny. Vacation was so funny. Some Kind of Wonderful to me was probably, you know, I think I liked that the most because I think it was the most romantic of his, you know, romantic comedy movies. And right. Home Alone, I just think is ultimately a very sweet movie.
I wasn't a huge fan of Home Alone.
Yeah, you know, I didn't like it when it first came out, and then I saw it again on video a few years later. I'm like, you know what? This is actually a really good movie. There's some very, very good moments in that film. The whole thing with like Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern is a little annoying, but it's a lot less a part of the movie than you remember in terms of their specific antics.
I really think they couldn't make that movie now. Just the whole kid. I mean, there's so much of the kid terrorizing them to the point where like bricks are falling in their head.
No, that was the second one.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I mean, there was, he did booby trap stuff in the, obviously, because that's how he gets rid of them.
Right.
But it was the second one that took place in New York where it got really violent. And I remember watching it at the time. I'm like, I can't believe they made this movie.
Right.
It was like troublesome to me. But the first one, I mean, yeah, there was the paint can that swung down and hit him in the face and stuff like that. But, you know, the broken glass from the Christmas ornaments and stuff. But that stuff was, I don't know. I thought it was a little bit more believable in that film. Not that any of it was really believable, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
The first one is a good movie. I think you should watch it again sometime. Give it another shot. There's a lot of me pleading with you to do that today. Give things another chance. Yeah, which you will never do.
I noticed that. I'm not going to.
No. That's so rude. Yeah, very sad. Did you know he lived on a farm here in Illinois for the last X number of years? Like, basically since he left Hollywood?
No, but I did see that he wrote a couple movies.
That you didn't know he wrote?
Well, like, under, like, a... Oh, pseudonym? You know what? There's the stories by him, but by his surname. Like, Made in Manhattan. That's his story.
Okay.
I mean, not, he wrote not a story about him. Well, it just says the story was by him, under a different name.
Okay. That's weird.
Beethoven's Fifth as well.
Was that the dog movie?
Although, I guess he made one of the first ones, so.
Yeah. So that's that about John Hughes. Okay, Avatar's first official trailer is up. There's a link to it on pause.com. We watched it earlier today together.
I don't know how I feel about it.
I don't either. I'm there was a lot of stuff that was pretty.
Yeah.
It maybe looked a little too pretty.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like,
parts of it I thought looked really cool, and parts of it I thought were too... I don't even know what word to pick.
Like, they looked like they were focusing too much on the work that had been done on the film rather than looked like they were part of a good story. Because that's the impression I got in a couple of shots.
Yeah, you know what? I think part of my problem is the characters that are in it,
the blue people.
The blue people are a little too removed from reality for me. I mean, a little too unrealistic for me.
Unrealistic looking, or they just seem like you couldn't imagine that those kind of creatures would actually exist anywhere.
Well, not to the point where I'll be able to take the movie completely serious.
You don't think it'll have to do with the story?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I'm just speaking on first.
I mean, you know,
first impressions.
You're saying that, and you're a Star Wars fan, so you know, Jabba the
Hutt. True.
Zuckus.
Yeah.
Hammerhead.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, speaking of which, you know what else I watched on the plane that you need to watch?
What?
I'm going completely off script here. So I downloaded episode 1 and episode 2 of the Robot Chicken Star Wars stuff.
Okay.
Episode 1 was just okay. There were a couple little funny moments. But there are parts in episode 2 that are absolutely hysterical where I was laughing out loud on the plane and people were looking at me.
Wow.
Oh, my God. So
there's no way.
So funny.
I'm not going to see that.
Why not?
I'm just kidding. I'm just pretending to be you for a second. Jeez.
There are a couple of skits.
Yeah, I do
want to
see those.
They're just little skits. And they're not based. Like, the first one isn't just all based from Star Wars. The second one isn't just all. They're all just, like, from any of the movies.
Right, right.
Oh, my God. There are some. I won't ruin anything.
No, please don't. Cause
God.
Yeah, because I want to be surprised.
Laugh out loud funny. Like,
well, now I can't wait to see that stuff. I don't know why. You know, I have part of the problem is I have so little time to watch TV at home, and I cannot
And now with World of Warcraft, there's no time at all.
No. You're the second person now who said that. No, but I cannot get Amy to watch animation at home. Unless it's like a Pixar movie that we've missed, she will not watch cartoons. So because we spend most of our time together when I'm at home, it's hard for me to ever watch anything animated because she doesn't want to watch it.
She just won't.
I don't
watch
know why.
It.
She just she's not into like cell animation.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Uh huh.
She just doesn't really care for it. Although I will say I was very happy last weekend. One day, we put on the first Mickey Mouse, like the first 10 Mickey Mouse cartoons.
Uh-huh.
We put those on for our son, and he loved them, which I was really happy about. Because I didn't know if he would, like, maybe not watch them because they're in black and white and there's really no talking or anything.
Right.
You know, I didn't know how he'd react to them, but he loved them. So that was pretty
cool.
That was cool. That was a neat thing. But anyway. So, yeah. So I don't know what I'm going to think about Avatar.
Yeah, now, I don't either. I
today,
mean, you know,
today,
it was all out of context.
Is
so
it today or tomorrow that the 16 minutes is showing?
I don't
showing?
Know. I didn't even know about that till.
Oh. Yeah, I'm not. I don't want to see that.
I know you don't.
The preview was enough. I don't want to see anything else until the movie comes out. Warner Brothers will re-release The Wizard of Oz on September 23rd for one night only to commemorate its 70th anniversary. I think that's kind of cool. I mean, it's a classic movie, so, you know, you don't often get to see those in the theater.
Sure you do. Live downtown.
Oh, really?
The Music Box plays it all the time.
Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not... How big is the Music Box?
It's a movie theater.
Yeah, but it's not like a huge, huge movie theater, is it?
No, well,
with, like,
I
good
mean,
good projection system and surround sound and all that? they have all that stuff, or isn't it old equipment?
Well, it's older, but
yeah, see.
I mean, it's not studio seating, but it's
You gotta have studio seating.
Stadium seating. That's what I meant to say.
You gotta have chicken nuggets. You gotta have Connie's Pizza.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, okay then.
Still, not everybody lives near the Music Box Theater, Tony. So for people who want to see,
I'm just saying it's not as cool as you think it is.
It is cool, and you know what else is cool about it?
Out of the suburbs every once in a while.
You know what is? You know what
else? They do cool stuff like this in the city all the time.
You know what else is cool about it is that they're showing the original Wizard of Oz, and not this isn't an announcement about a remake.
Yeah. No, that.
You know what I'm saying? Because
I'm surprised they haven't remade that.
I'm going to skip ahead a few.
Oh, wait.
And talk about the fact. No, I'm going to skip ahead a few and talk about the fact that Disney and Robert Zemeckis are remaking Yellow Submarine. As a 3D movie that's all done with performance capture. That does not need to be done.
No.
Stupid. Anyway. Universal's Wolfman by Joe Johnston has an official trailer online now.
Oh, is it cool?
I have not watched it. That is with, again, Benicio Del Toro, your Anthony Hopkins, and your Emily Blunt.
Why are they mine?
They just are.
I like them, though.
Yeah.
I'll take them.
They're all good. Benicio Del Toro looks like he was born to play the Wolfman.
Yeah.
You know, that movie's had a lot of problems.
I know. We've talked about it before.
Yeah. Joe Johnston, though, what did he do? I think we talked about this before, and I can't remember.
Didn't he do, like, the Crank movies or Transporter or Transformer?
Really?
Transponder.
I think you're thinking of somebody else. The Transponder. I don't think he had anything to do with the Transponder. The movie about
people right now are listening, going, God, the guy they had last week was so smart.
That was that movie about the radio relay station.
Jumanji.
What else did he do?
Jumanji.
Earlier, before
Hidalgo.
That.
October
before
Sky.
That. Before that.
The Adventures of Young Indiana Jones. Spring Break Adventure.
Before
Spring
that.
Break Adventure.
Before. Earlier. Earlier.
The Rocketeer.
Before that.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Before that.
That's it.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. So he's not. Oh, you know who I was thinking of? I was thinking of Joe Dante.
He was a Death Star trooper as an actor.
I was thinking of Joe Dante. Yeah. Joe Dante's done some good stuff. Well, I mean Gremlins.
Right.
You don't need to say anything else. You say Gremlins, that's it. That's your whole resume. You don't need anything else on that. You know what I mean?
I can't come up with anything else, so that is his whole resume as far as I'm concerned.
But I see no need to, going back to the whole Yellow Submarine thing, I see no need to do that. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, which you will not even see, is on Blu-ray and DVD October 20th.
So on that day, I will not buy that.
Any other plans that we should know about?
Warner right Brothers, now, that's all I have slated for that day. It's not
is buying
not that
buying
movie.
Transformers. Warner Brothers is also making a Shazam movie. Shazam, featuring
Captain Marvel.
Now,
that was one of the most ridiculous superheroes.
Now, let me ask you a question. The Shazam TV show, that was not Captain Marvel, was it?
Yes. If you remember, and they were played, what was his
I'm
name?
I'm confused.
Billy
I thought
Batson.
I thought that when he I thought the character's name was Shazam.
No, he said Shazam to turn into Captain Marvel. No, there was no one named Shazam. That's what he said to turn into Captain Marvel.
Oh, and is that what Captain Marvel does? In the comic books, does he say Shazam to turn into?
Yes. Well, I mean, I'm trying to remember what his...
Is that kind of like Flame Up or Flame On or whatever?
What?
From the Fantastic Four. Whenever that guy like would want to go flying, he would be like, flame up or flame on or
did
something.
Did he have to say that?
Yeah, he did it every time, so apparently.
I got to find out.
It's like the dumbest thing ever. Why don't you just start flying? Keep your mouth shut, buddy.
Yeah, no, Shazam is just what
oh, see, I thought.
But if you remember, in the TV show, the guy, when he wasn't Captain Marvel and then Captain Marvel, they both played by different characters.
They were?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Here we go.
All I remember two
things.
Yeah, because
he was like a little teenage boy, and then he'd say Shazam, and he turned into like a 35-year-old man.
Oh,
in
see, I don't remember that. So, okay, here's what I remember. I remember that they drove around in an RV.
Billy Batson, I was right. I
remember
that
they drove around in a big RV, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And then I remember the RV had this like giant like lump of clay with a bunch of like lit up juji fruits in it, and it would like twinkle and glow, and that was how he would know he had to turn into Shazam guy. And then, remember when people started getting sick of Shazam, which I don't think took very long, they added on the whole ISIS thing.
ISIS, yes. And then ISIS was more popular, I think, than...
Well, because, you know, you got a hottie running around in a bikini, basically.
True.
And it's teenage boys who were watching it, so
yeah,
do the math. I'm just saying. Who played ISIS? Will you look that up? Because I want to know. It was probably a nobody. Now watch, it's like Michelle Pfeiffer or someone.
I highly doubt it.
What are my song options for while Tony's looking up stuff today?
And all I have is like the real ISIS. Well, I mean the God ISIS. I'm not finding anything on the TV show.
Did you put ISIS in the name of
the
show?
Well, I mean Wikipedia.
Why would you not be on IMDb?
Because I was already in Wikipedia.
Oh. What were you looking up in Wikipedia?
Shazam. Well, because I wanted to see...
I have a scowl on my face right now, just so you know.
Go on to the next
okay,
thing.
Okay, so anyway,
so, about
okay. It. Next thing, Battle Los Angeles, an alien invasion survival movie starring Aaron Eckhart will be released on February 18th, 2011. Yes, I said 2011. That's a year and a half away. Why do we need this news now? Why do they need to tell us that?
I don't know.
Well, there you go.
Her name was Joanna Cameron, and she hasn't worked since 1980, if she's still alive.
Huh. Robert Downey Jr. will not voice any characters in Ubermind, but Brad Pitt and Will Ferrell will. Wonder if that's the first
time.
Why
would Robert Downey Jr.
Well, I think
be
he was supposed
Ubermind.
To be in it.
Oh.
Originally, and now he's not.
Ah.
So there you go. Sony's moving ahead with both Spider-Man 5 and Spider-Man 6, even though Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire, and Kirsten Dunst are not officially on board.
And even though Spider-Man 3 sucked.
Which one was Spider-Man 3?
The one where he had the little Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, God, I hated that. Yeah. I thought you liked that.
No.
Oh. Yeah, I did not like that at all.
No.
I thought that was terrible.
Yeah.
I
want to say I saw the Hulk movie.
The new one with
Ed Norton.
Yeah. It's not bad.
I thought it was pretty bad.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think. Well, did you see the first Hulk movie a few years ago?
Yeah, that was bad too.
That was terrible.
And it made me think you probably can't make a good Hulk movie.
Well, you know, neither one of them had great effects.
No, he looks too fake.
Too fake in both of them.
In fact, I have to say he looked faker in this one than he did in the last one, I think.
They were both pretty terrible, but in terms of the effects. But I liked the story of this one a lot better than the story of the first one.
Yeah. And Liv Tyler, I like Liv Tyler in certain things, but in this...
Well, she always looks like she's about to cry.
Cry, yeah.
She's got that whole thing going on.
Yeah.
Which is fine if she's playing an elf.
Right.
Because, you know, elves probably do cry a lot.
Did she play... Oh,
Lord of the Rings, yeah.
The most boring 9 hours in cinematic history.
You didn't like those movies?
Oh, my. Well, I never even saw the third one. First one, I tried to like, I didn't like. Second one, I slept through the whole thing. Third one, I didn't even bother.
You know, I enjoyed them while I was watching them for the spectacle of what they were.
Uh-huh.
I don't have any desire to ever see those films again, though.
No.
They were not exciting in that sense.
If you have really bad insomnia.
Plus, everybody cries. Everybody in those movies cried.
Really?
Every single main character cried at least once in those films. It was the weirdest thing. Okay, our last bit of movie news.
Yeah, I see.
Very
this.
Depressing. You know how we don't like the fact that so many sequels and remakes and reboots are done? Well, this has got to be...
I'm surprised at this. Go ahead. Say
this
it.
Is one of the worst. There is a sequel in the works for White Chicks.
Yes, and here's my issue with this is, you know, there's so many people that have come out since... And not when the movie first came out, but as of recent. I listen to a lot of movie podcasts. So many people... Use this as an example of like reverse. I can't
not
say
really
reverse racism because
it's racism. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, imagine, like I said, like they say, imagine if it were the other way around.
Right, exactly. Never in a million years.
It would never be done.
Well, that has to do with my whole double standard of you know, political correctness that I've talked about before.
Right. Well, but what you're saying, though, is that just as they can make this, you should be able to make the other one, where I'm saying they shouldn't make either.
Right.
Right.
I understand your point of view. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, in today's society, I'm surprised that this was greenlit.
Yeah, it's just, well, I'm surprised it was greenlit just because the first one looked so terrible.
I didn't see it,
but it just looked
sure
terrible. It looked terrible. But anyway, you got anything else about movies?
No.
All right, cool. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back to talk about everything else. All right, we're back. We're back, and we're going to talk about everything else now in the old mashup section of our show.
Oh, the moosh moosh.
There you go.
I'm sorry. I had
a
week off.
You were out of practice.
You know, I really thought last week, too, you would have had him say moosh moosh.
No. Come on. That's your thing. That's sacred.
Oh,
that
would have been fun to hear him because he was pretty serious. Well, no, I mean, he cracks some jokes, but like, obviously, I'm much more of a clown than he is.
Yeah.
So it would have been very entertaining to me to hear him say moosh moosh.
I'm sorry about that. And I apologize to Mike for that, too. missing a week of Moosh Moosh. I haven't heard from him in a while, have you?
No.
Okay. Too busy studying, apparently. I just, before we start talking about all the mashup stuff, I just want to mention that you just looked up the IMDb rating for
White Chicks. And it was 5 out of 10. And then I asked you, just for comparison, to pick
another movie that was probably bad to see how it compared.
Right.
And I picked, for some reason, Lambada.
The Forbidden Dance. And that was a 2.7 out of 10.
That's so terrible. You know, it's so funny because, I mean, you know, the whole copycat mentality in Hollywood, you know, somebody does one kind of movie and it's good and then everyone else tries. I mean, look at, you know, Star Wars. Everyone tried to do space movies after Star Wars came out, right?
Right.
And, you know, they just don't work. So, but if you're going to do that, is Dirty Dancing really what you want to base your copycat movie on? Anyway, the Garmin Asus Nuvifone G60 and M20 might be coming to AT&T. Let me ask the question. It's only available in Taiwan right now. Why would anyone want to come to AT&T? AT&T can't even handle the iPhone traffic they have. They don't need any more smartphones cluttering up the airwaves.
That's true.
Their service is terrible. It's slow. It cuts out all the time. There are some times when I get the E. That means that I've reverted from 3G to Edge.
Right.
And then there's sometimes when even that goes away and there's just like a little circle.
Yeah, what is that circle?
What's that mean?
What is that circle?
Does it mean it's getting hotter outside? Because it looks like the little degree symbol.
I know. I don't know what that
is. I don't know what that is, but it makes me kind of scared every time I see it.
I agree.
Maybe it's the thing that indicates that I'm being tracked.
Wow.
I don't know. Could be. They might want to take that out of the next iPhone update if that's what it is. But please, smartphone makers, do not go to AT&T. All right? Go to Verizon, go to Sprint, go anywhere but AT&T. We don't need our network bogged down anymore. London's Heathrow Airport now features a driverless taxi system that takes people from Terminal 5 to the parking lot of their choice. So up to 4 people get in these little pods that, unfortunately, are white and do not look like the Johnny Cabs from Total Recall. But basically the same concept. There's no driver. You just get in this thing. There's a touch screen. There's a touch screen, and you pick your... You pick the parking lot that you want to go to, and these little driverless taxis take you to your parking lot at 25 miles an hour on a special system of roads that was developed just for them. They've spent $41 million putting this thing together so far, which actually does not sound like
I was just going to say, that doesn't sound like a lot.
Right? And if this phase of the test goes well, they're going to expand it tenfold, and they'll even have these things taking people to the hotels and stuff.
Let me just say, I just looked this up, and there's a headline here. Driverless taxi system to make air freshener trees obsolete.
Yeah, that's where I got this from. And you can see, because if you scroll down, there's a picture of the pod and of the Johnny Cab, and you can see they don't look anything alike. Which is unfortunate, because I think it'd be pretty cool. You're in a Johnny Cab, but with a British accent.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty neat, huh?
Yeah.
That's a neat thing. Scientists, okay, this is a big deal. This is actually a huge deal. Scientists found amino acids among the stuff they retrieved from a comet from the Stardust spacecraft in 2004. So it took them like a couple years to get it back to the lab, and then it took them a couple years to figure out what was in the samples. But they found amino acids in there, which means that the whole idea of exogenesis could, in fact, be real, especially when you combine it with recent findings that some comets include liquid water. You know what that means? Exogenesis. It means that life was basically brought here from elsewhere. And that it didn't evolve independently on Earth. Now, it could have been like the fact that two things were going on, I suppose.
Right. And then there's the whole religion thing.
We don't really want to get into that.
Oh, I know. Believe me, I know we don't.
So thanks for bringing that up. But I'm just saying this is actually a really huge deal. Because it means that absolutely for sure, there is probably life elsewhere, like almost.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily mean that
it's human or like us at all.
Well, and it doesn't mean that that we couldn't have. What's the way I want to say it?
Let's put it this way:
it doesn't mean that we came here from somewhere else.
No,
I mean, it could be another evolving.
But the building blocks of life, which means that humans could have also evolved on other planets.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild.
I would tend to believe that before I would believe that we were brought here from somewhere else.
Well, no, I don't mean humans were brought here, but we evolved from came from somewhere else.
Yeah, but couldn't there be another planet under the same, in another galaxy, in the same, you know,
basic setup.
Conditions that we have here, and like the same thing happened there. Of course.
Sure. Well, we don't know. This just means, though, that it's a, it, the possibility exists
right.
that life on Earth started from somewhere else, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
It's a possibility.
Sure.
And before, it was just a theory.
Right. And E.T.
So, what?
And E.T.
Yeah, well, he had to go make a phone call. Apple is under investigation. I love this story. This is a great story. Apple is under, I think there's a guy trying to steal a car outside. He keeps.
Is it a red car?
It is a red car. It's not your red car, though.
It's not my red car.
Apple is under investigation by the Justice Department because Steve Jobs allegedly had an illegal pact with Google not to hire each other's employees. And it turns out that he also tried that with Palm. So after Apple pilfered 2% of Palm's staff to start developing the iPhone, then Steve Jobs turns around to the head of Palm and says, hey, why don't we make an agreement that nobody at your company can come work here and nobody here can go work for you, which is, let me say it again, against the law to make such an arrangement.
Right.
But Palm's Ed Colligan refused the deal. And so Apple is under investigation for, I guess, two counts of this now, which is pretty hilarious.
How are they going to prove that?
What a sort, well, there's written memos and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, it's written?
Yeah. He sent
him
emails.
That was dumb.
I'm sorry. What a sore loser. Okay, I'm going to steal all your stuff. Now, you know what? I don't want to play this game anymore. So just sign this agreement, okay? Ridiculous. Lenovo is releasing the Idea Center Q100 and Q110 laptops for $249 and $349, respectively. They're these little, like, super slim tower, basically like a netbook without a screen. And it's just a little tower, and then you hook it up to either a computer monitor or, a TV or whatever. And so you got like a little, you know, nice looking computer wherever you need it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's nice looking too. VW is going to release the Phaeton in the US
again.
But
you know, wait, let me go back to that. Yeah. But you know, if you have a screen, it folds into the same size as the thing that it is.
Right, but what if you want a bigger one? The other thing about this is that they use NVIDIA's Ion chipset, so they actually output 1080p video through HDMI. Which most netbooks cannot do.
Oh, well, that's, yeah.
Right. So it's a different kind of thing. VW is going to release the Phaeton again in the U.S., but they didn't say when, and they certainly didn't say why.
What's the Phaeton?
The Phaeton is a VW that, it's basically an Audi A8 that has a VW nameplate on it. I mean, obviously, there were some details changed. The sheet metal was a little bit different. But it's basically, they basically took Audi's flagship car, and they stuck a VW badge on it. Again, I'm simplifying. And it was a complete disaster because, first of all, who wants to buy an $80,000 VW? I see no show of hands. And no. In fact, very few people bought them. And the guy...
It's not even really that attractive.
No, the A8 is much nicer looking. And the guy who was kind of responsible for it at the time said that it was a mistake selling it, and then he was fired by VW.
You said so, A8 Audi?
Yeah, A8. The Audi A8 is a much nicer looking car.
They look exactly the same.
No, they don't! What are you talking about? First of all,
they look boring.
You must be looking at an older picture of the A8.
I'm looking at 10 pictures of the A8.
Okay, well, you must not be looking at a new one because they don't look anything alike. The last Phaeton was on sale like 5 or 6 years ago. Then the current A8 doesn't look like...
They both look boring to me.
Whatever. Again, not a car guy, people.
No, I'm not at all.
Asus has beat out Apple in consumer reliability reports for the second year in a row by RescueCom, scoring 416 versus Apple's 394. IBM and Lenovo was next with 314, followed by HP at 218, and no surprise that Dell, not on the list. Sprint has expanded its 4G network to 17 cities, and the rumor is that they have a 4G phone coming soon, possibly from Samsung. Service should have 10 megabit speeds maximum, with average speeds ranging between 3 and 6 megabits, which is about 5 times faster than their 3G network. So that would be pretty cool. I can't wait till 4G starts rolling out. Well, you know, and Sprint is not the only ones doing it. Theirs is the WiMAX technology. Uh-huh. And then, as we've talked about recently as well, Verizon is apparently hard at work getting their 4G rolled out because they are probably going to have a couple of Apple,
right,
telephony or whatever products coming soon that'll use 4G. Mark Andreessen, who is often referred to as the father of the internet, is backing a company called RockMelt.
I thought Al Gore was the father of the internet.
No, he's the father of everything.
Ah.
a company called RockMelt that's working on a new type of web browser that he says will be different than anything that's out there now. because he said, you know, if you were going to make a web browser now from scratch, based on everything we know about how people use the web now, that you would make it completely differently rather than starting with something that's, you know, 15 years old and just improving
it.
He hasn't said what it's going to do, but he just said that, you know, it's going to be different. Father of the internet, okay? Pay attention. An article on Autoblog.
Cat's gone crazy.
An article on Autoblog revealed that people who live in cold climates and buy hybrids are getting totally screwed on their mileage because the batteries in hybrids don't work well unless it's warm out. So, like, if you live in a place like here where in the winter it gets below freezing, that you will probably never use the hybrid part of your car when it's that cold out, and your mileage could drop by almost half. Wow. So if you're normally getting, you know, they were talking about the Ford Fusion Hybrid, which they were getting 41 miles to the gallon on in, and that's a decent sized car, right, out in California. Well, they brought it back to Michigan, and during the winter they were getting like, they could barely get like 25 miles to the gallon because the hybrid part never kicks in because the batteries don't work well, right, in the cold. So keep that in mind, especially if you have a short commute under 10 miles, your hybrid in cold weather may never actually use the hybrid part of it. Microsoft is soon going to release its LifeCam Cinema webcam capable of 30 frames per second, 720p video. That is so cool. It's also going to have a 4x digital zoom and noise canceling microphone, and it'll be $80 when it ships, when it hits the stores, I mean, on September 9th. So Borders, you know, everyone's talking about the rumored Apple, whatever, tablet, whatever it's going to be. Borders had a survey online that mentioned the Apple iPad large screen reading device, fueling rumors that it's coming soon, although the insiders still claim that it's not going to be available till next year. And it's also rumored that the next iPod Touch and Nano are going to have cameras on them. So really, then, the only difference between the iPod Touch and the iPhone will be the phone.
Right.
Which is pretty cool, actually.
And the GPS.
And there's... Oh, there's no GPS?
No.
You can have GPS without cell phone.
I guess. I don't think it has it, though.
Oh. It should. They'd sell a lot more if they did that. You know what I mean?
Hold on.
It couldn't be a GPS because there's no cell phone, but it could still be a regular GPS. What? What are you looking up? You looking up the rumor or the current one?
Looking to see if...
The current one or what's rumored to come next is what I'm asking.
Right.
I'm getting no answer.
Because I'm looking.
Oh, okay. I'll move on while you're doing that. Verbatim now has a new little USB drive called Tough and Tiny that's literally like twice the size of your thumbnail. It's like super thin, and it's very tiny, and it's very lightweight, so you can just stick it on a keychain and not even really know it's there. It stores 8 gigs, and it's $50, but it's really tiny. Did I mention it's tiny? What'd you find out?
I didn't find out anything.
Okay. So that's pretty much it. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, so now, as always, time for our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Start with your worst, please, Tony.
My worst. Okay, my worst. Let me preface my worst by saying that this is not about me going somewhere that's foreign to me and being upset that things aren't the way that I'm used to. Okay?
Wow, that's quite the preface.
So I went to see G.I. Joe in Puerto Rico. Okay. And so when I went to the theater, this is just, I guess, just
now, do you
realizing.
Preface it that way because you've
well,
been
because
criticized
I don't want
and
to tell,
accused by
no,
people?
No,
okay.
I'm just, I can see that that's how this would be construed, and this is not the
do
fact.
Do we need to
the
tell
fact,
people that you're practically fluent in Spanish?
No, that's not necessary.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that it's not me complaining that things around the world are not the same way that they are here.
Right.
It's me realizing...
Well, just tell the story.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about
it
afterwards.
I went to see G.I. Joe in Puerto Rico. And first off, when I went there, I went to get a popcorn and some Coke. And I ordered a medium popcorn. And literally, the bag was the size of, what can I compare
like
it
a
to?
Large fries at McDonald's.
Yes. Yes, like the supersized fries. That
right.
was like a medium. So I asked, oh, well, what does the large look like? And she holds up a large, which looked like a small, as we
right.
have here. So I ended up getting the large, which
right.
was like a small. And there she goes, this is the extra large. And so she shows me the extra large. And it was like our medium,
right.
which immediately made me think, okay, that's why our country's so fat.
Well, yeah, because we eat a ton of food.
But
the portions here are so huge.
Insult to injury, I asked for butter. They don't put butter on popcorn in Puerto Rico.
No butter anywhere in the theater.
Nowhere anywhere in the theater.
Wow.
So I don't know if it was just this theater. But I mean, because she didn't act like I had said something completely, you know.
Right.
I'm sure, you know, she gets a lot of people, or some people who ask for butter. But so I don't know if it was this theater or if it's just Puerto Rico. But then it really made me realize that, you know,
yeah,
that's why we're in the
show. That's why we're fatties.
So then I go into the theater, and I'm sitting there, and right as the movie is supposed to start, you know, they start with a couple commercials and then a couple more commercials. I'm not lying to you. Other than the two movie previews, there was nothing but commercials for 25 minutes.
Unreal.
And what scared me was all the commercials were in Spanish.
Right.
So my, you know, after so like 15 minutes of that,
watching G.I. Joe in
was
Spanish
I going to be watching
subtitles?
G.I. Joe in Spanish, which I wouldn't have had a problem with. I probably would have understood, you know,
yeah, most
75
of it.
To 80% of it.
Yeah.
especially with how ridiculous and simple the dialogue was.
Yeah.
but you know, I wanted to see the movie in its original form.
Right.
So needless to say, the movie came on, and it was in English, but there were Spanish subtitles.
Wow. But, so that was good. That was good.
So is this my worst entertainment moment? Not
well,
that it was
through,
a bad experience.
Here, but no, having to sit through 25 minutes of commercials under any circumstances
true.
Is not fun.
True, but I do want to mention, the commercials are very entertaining. Let me tell you one. This was for Clearasil.
Okay.
In Spanish, so, I mean, made, yeah. you know, not made for this country.
Right.
So, I mean, it just shows how senses of humor and what's funny there and what's funny here.
Yeah.
Obviously a little different. It's a kid walking into an ice cream place, and he's got a big, ugly whitehead on his face. And he wears an ice cream cone with sprinkles, and they... And the lady behind the counter like makes a face at him and just throws a couple sprinkles on it. So he comes back after using Clearasil and his face is...
Throws a couple sprinkles on his whitehead?
Oh, no, I'm sorry, on his ice cream cone.
Oh, okay.
So he comes back
that would have been funny.
To the ice cream place after using Clearasil and his face is clear. And he orders the ice cream cone with the sprinkles. And she's still kind of making a face at him and throws this just a couple sprinkles back on. And he looks a little upset because apparently he assumes the zit is gone. Why aren't I getting more sprinkles? Tears his shirt open. She goes nuts and drowns the cone in sprinkles. I don't know how that sells.
I don't get it.
I don't know either. But
was there dialogue that maybe we're missing?
No. I mean, there was very little dialogue. It was like him ordering the ice cream cone and that's it.
I don't get it.
I don't either. But that was one of the better of the commercials.
Wow.
They showed in
I'd
the
hate
25
to hear what the
minutes.
Worst ones were. Yipes. For my worst entertainment moment of the week, I'm going to have to go with watching the Avatar preview today.
Really?
Not
it's
because
the worst?
I thought it was that bad, but there were two things that bugged me about it. One is that, I think that there's a fine line. And I think anyone in Hollywood would say that basically making a trailer is an art form and a thing all unto itself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of times there's footage and stuff in them that's not in the movies.
Right.
You know, a lot of times there's stuff shot just for those. You'll see when you go to see District 9, you'll see that. Because there's stuff in the preview that is never in the film.
Okay.
And a huge pet peeve of mine is when you go to see a movie trailer and it basically tells you the entire story.
It's the worst, yeah.
This was kind of the opposite. There was
like the one for that new Jennifer Aniston movie. Have you seen that commercial?
I have not.
Tells the whole, I mean, what I assume is the whole story.
Which is fine because I probably wouldn't go see it anyway. So
well, exactly.
Now I got to not see it for free. You know what I'm saying? But this was like almost the opposite where, I mean, you could kind of guess a little bit of the story from what we saw in the preview today. But it was too much just a showcase of technology, I thought. And I didn't like that. And the other thing that bugs me is it was hosted on Apple's site and it's only available in QuickTime. For the love of all things that is sacred, do not post anything mass market in QuickTime. QuickTime under Windows sucks. Half of the installations are buggy and will crash the computer every time you try to use it. And it doesn't stream. So you have to download the entire file before you can watch it.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Put it in Flash Video. There's no reason to not put it in Flash Video.
I love how this has turned into rant against Apple.
Well, I'm sorry. It really annoys me. It really annoys me. Let me remind people that
maybe
still,
Steve Jobs made a deal with them. That,
yeah, an illegal deal. Let me remind people that still fewer of 5% of all computer users use the Mac. There is no reason to use QuickTime for anything that's mass market ever, period. End of story. Eat it, James Cameron.
I don't really believe that's the end of the story.
No,
I believe it's
going
to go on and on.
All right, so your best entertainment moment?
My best entertainment of the week. Before I thought I'd try a few different podcasts, well, you know, before my trip, so I had stuff to listen to on the plane. And I stumbled across this podcast. And Mike, if you're listening, I think you would love this podcast. I listened to a few comedy podcasts, and I found one called I Love Movies. And it's hosted by Doug Benson. Now, okay. You know what? Let me look up Doug Benson.
I actually know a guy named Doug Benson. Well, he's probably not the same one.
He was one of the runner-ups on one of the Last Comic Standing.
That'd be runners-up.
Runners-up. Runner-ups. Runners around. You'd recognize him if you saw him.
Really?
He's one of the runners-up on Last Comic Standing.
Which
See,
season?
That's why the guy who was on last week was much smarter. I don't know which season, but he was on and you'd recognize him.
Okay. Thanks. Apparently, even if I never watched it, I'd still recognize the guy.
You would. So I think he does a lot of those Best Week Ever things, too, or those VH1 things where, like, I love the 80s. Yeah, I think he does that stuff, too.
You mentioned VH1, which has nothing to do with my life.
Video Hits 1.
I never watch VH1. Ever.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't blame you for that. But so it's just him in front of a live audience, and he brings a couple comedians on. They just do a little casual talk about movies, which is hysterical because all the people he has on are comedians.
Yeah.
So some big ones like Patton Oswalt and Dana Gould and Adam Carolla. But then at the end, he does this thing that I've become addicted to listening, and I've downloaded like almost all of his podcasts. He plays these little games.
Okay.
With the people that he has on stage. Now, let me just tell you, like, two of the games. And he also does these games on Twitter. So, like, he'll just start a, like, game on Twitter, and then you can play along with him, which I haven't signed on with him as of yet. But I'm definitely going to do it. One of them is where he tries to create the longest movie title, where he'll take a movie title, and you either have to take the, you have to make it, for example,
yeah,
A Few Good Men.
Okay.
So you either have to... You have to add on to it by either finding another movie title that begins with men,
right,
or another movie title that ends in a few.
Right.
So, like, A Few Good Men in Black.
Right.
And then you add on to that.
Right.
So he does that on Twitter.
Okay.
But to hear these comedians play along with this is a lot of fun. That, and in addition to the other one, he has the Leonard Maltin game, he calls it, because he has the 2005 Leonard Maltin Home Companion,
right,
as his Bible. And what he does is he picks a movie out of there, and he gives just a little clue about the movie. And then you play kind of like the people play Name That Tune, where they name and how many stars that are in the movie,
okay,
before they can guess.
That's
it.
Cool.
But what he does is he tells how many stars is listed for that movie in the book. And when you say how many stars, he starts from the bottom.
Oh, man.
So it's not, oh, my God, it's so much fun listening to people play that.
That would be hard. That would be hard.
Completely, because there's a lot of times you're naming people that you don't even know.
Right, right, right. Wow.
But I have laughed so hard at some, just the talk
about
movies,
really cool,
is funny enough.
Yeah.
Because there was one episode where he just brought on Entertainment Weekly, like picked like the best 20 movies of the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And just them ripping on all the choices. It's really funny.
Yeah.
But the games on top of it make it so much fun to listen to.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Listen to.
I'll have to check that out. Well, for my best entertainment moment of the week, you know, I really loved District 9, but I'm going to have to give it to seeing the Guild Wars 2 preview this morning.
Really?
I Guild Wars is one of my favorite video games ever.
I know.
And I have really been looking forward to Guild Wars 2. And that the artwork in that preview is so... I mean, the concept art is nice enough.
Right.
But once you get into the part where you're about a third of the way through and you're looking at the actual, you know, game engine stuff... I mean, the environments are just so stunning, and they look so huge, and I'm just really looking forward to getting into that environment again. And I have to say, one of the things that really made that game for me is the music. The guy who, there were actually two guys really who did most of the music. The main guy was this guy, Jeremy Soule, and then his brother, Julian, also did some of the music too. But just like you can't really talk about Star Wars without talking about the soundtrack.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's the same thing for Guild Wars. The music really helps set the tone and the feel and the overall experience of that game. And I just can't wait to get back into, you know, an environment as big as what this seems like it's going to be, that's done by all these same people who did such a good job, you know, however many years ago that Guild Wars launched, with new technology and new stories and, you know, all sorts of new game mechanics and a fully persistent world and everything. I just think it's going to be so cool. So I was really excited to see that this morning. And that's my pick right there.
Wow, it beats District 9.
Yeah, it beats District 9. I really did like District 9 a lot, though. I don't want to take anything away from that because it was very cool. But, yeah, I'm going to have to give it to Guild Wars.
Wow.
Because, you know, it's something that I was already a fan of. Right. So it's kind of like, you know, if you saw that Empire was coming out after you've been waiting 3 years after seeing Star Wars, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of like that whole thing. So there you go. So that's it. You got anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think we've pretty much exhausted everything. This is probably our longest show.
I don't know. We'll have to see when I edit it together. But thanks again for listening, everybody. And don't forget, you can write to us at podcast@pause.com. Visit us on Facebook. Become a fan of our page there. And go to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review and a rating. And we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.